Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Morning. Seth Meyers is going to be in here from Saturday Night Live. Also, John Cho from Ernest and... What the hell is that movie?
Harold and Kumar.
Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Funny movie. Seen it. Well, actually, I've seen it in pieces, but I've seen it now like 1 5/8 times. You know, there's the movies, you never actually see the whole movie.
Why, you get high and pass out?
I was actually high before I saw it, but yeah, you catch it at the 3/4 mark, and you end up watching 20 minutes of it, and then 3 weeks later, you catch the first 18 minutes of it, and then the phone rings, and then eventually, it becomes a mosaic of a movie.
Mm.
You can, if you stand back and look at it, you can, oh yeah, I recognize it, but if you get too close, you see the grout lines. So, but you know what? It was a really funny movie, and both those guys were really good in it, and, John Cho is, super smart, because we had him in on Loveline once. Speaking of John's, John Madden is going to be calling in. He's on his way to the Super Bowl. He's taking the Madden Cruiser. Comedian Doug Benson is coming in here. Michael Strahan is going to be calling in. Sackmaster Strahan. I like Strahan. I've never spoken to him and never even met him, so I'll look forward to that.
Big space between his front teeth.
Yeah. He's got that thing Madonna's got. They're really the same person. As a matter of fact, have you ever seen them in the same room together?
I have not. Interesting.
Yeah, I can't tell them apart. Yeah.
The funny thing about him also, he loves making fun of the fact that he's got that big space between his teeth.
He does?
Yeah. You would think he would be embarrassed about it, but he's like, yeah. You know.
That makes him less appealing to me.
It's really, well, you're not dating him. He's just calling in. It's really one of those things that doesn't really screw your face up that much. I'm trying to think of what does it more, but... Big gap between your front teeth, not a deal breaker. I don't know why. On a guy, it's weird. Effed up teeth usually says, well, this guy's stupid, but big gap in the front teeth doesn't. It's weird. It's always from Britain and it's from another era. That's sort of what it says. And even on a woman doesn't, it's not a deal breaker. It would seem like it would have a bigger impact. There's certain things that seem like, oh man, that would be bad stuff, and it turns out it's not.
Missing teeth, more egregious.
Missing teeth, or just that weird fang, that double up fang thing over there, or just a buck teeth, or the whatever. Even, I'm trying to think of the things that should be deal breakers, and they're not, and then there's other things that are deal breakers for some reason.
Mole. Nice fang.
Yeah.
I got the fang.
He's got that thing.
Is that the deal breaker for ladies? I don't know.
You like the fang?
They got about 30 things they have to get to before they get to the fang. And then it's a deal breaker.
Reason number 237 not to be with Tad.
That's right.
Your face, son.
Let me ask everyone this. So a few things I'd like to talk about. First off, just a sort of off-the-wall topic. I don't know if you guys wear sunglasses. Some adults do, some don't. No kids wear sunglasses. But at some point, you put on a pair of sunglasses. And I think it's not 15. It's usually like 19 or 20. For some reason, you put on a pair of sunglasses. And then once they come on, you can't get them off because you get used to them. Mm-hmm. It's like chapstick. I made it through 20 years of life without using a chapstick. And then you pick one up and you go, this would be nice. You put it on. And a half hour later, like, I think I need more chapstick. And then it's like every 8 seconds. And then you're injecting it. You're actually mainlining wax. It becomes addictive. And then what happens is you go travel, you go camping or something. You're on an airplane. You're like, oh Christ, where's the chapstick? And then you're like Leif Garrett without his rig. Now I'm camping, but I'm shaking. I got night sweats. I'm detoxing essentially because I forgot this chapstick and I never needed it before I started using it. It's really weird. It's like, how does it do? Okay. Yeah. Puts a little vitamin E and a little wax on your lips. It makes it feel better. But somehow you become dependent. It's physical, it's emotional, whatever it is. Now you need it, and now you're screwed without it. So I guess the moral of the story is never use the chapstick, but sunglasses are that way too. Once it's game on with the sunglasses, then that's it. Now you leave the movie theater after the matinee, and you realize the shades were left in the car, and it's like you're like Count Dracula. Oh my God. You crawl to the car, they pull your shirt over your head. Meanwhile, the guys who never wear sunglasses have no problem with it. And there's a weird thing. It's sort of we hang out, at least me and Damashek do, with guys that are in, I would say, lovingly, in an arrested state of development. These are guys who have, you know, there's a lot of guys, especially around the country, by the age of 23 or 24, you have three kids, you have a full-time factory job, you're just focused on your family and you're focused on making a living. We have guys that are focused on rotisserie, baseball, fantasy football, wearing sports, and these guys are 35. They're 35. There's eight guys that are 35. There's a half a kid between the eight of them, and they have they each wear 700 pairs of sneakers in their closet, and they get in fist fights over uniforms and decals and things like that on helmets. It's a weird. Oh, sorry, Chuck. I mean, it's a weird arrested state. And the thing that's interesting is none of them wear sunglasses. And I always try to figure out, because I do wear sunglasses, and I feel like. It's weird, like I'm the only one who's high in this group of eight people that are out going to lunch. But I realize, no, most adults, especially adult males well into their 30s, are going to wear sunglasses. I think it has to do with the state of mind. I think like Jimmy's cousin Sal and many of these other guys we're talking about, maybe chronologically 35, but they have the mentality of a 16-year-old, and 16-year-olds don't wear sunglasses.
It's a good theory.
You know what I mean? Such a hot song.
Well, the reason in my case I don't sunglasses, I wear the lamp black. I wear like a football player. Yeah. I just smear the black stuff under my eyes. It's the same thing.
It is weird. I mean, think about it, Dave. Nobody we know wears sunglasses.
It's true.
And it's just strange. But, okay, so anyway, so you're not going to know what I'm talking about, but Rachel Perry will when I say, how do they get so goddamn dirty?
Do you want me to tell you?
Will you? Because I don't wear any hair product. I know, maybe I ooze sebum from my face or something, but how do they get that dirty? Chapstick?
Chapstick.
Is that what happens? Yeah. What happens? How do they get, here's what I'm saying. Dave, you don't know, but back me up, Rachel. You get your sunglasses, you put them on inside your house. No, I don't wear them up on my head, though. That's what you're thinking. You put them on in your house, they're fine. You drive to work, you take them out, you put them in your pocket, or you hang them off your collar. You get back outside, you go out, you can't see. Now it's obstructed. It's just like somebody rubbed bacon fat over the thing. And you're like, what? These things are a mess. And then you start wiping it with your sweater and sort of on it and stuff. But now it's on the other side of the lens. And I'm constantly shooting it with Windex and sort of wiping it down with my shirt sleeve and stuff. And it's like, what happened here? You know, I didn't do the Paris to Dakar rally. I just went into work, turned around, and came back out again. I didn't do anything. Maybe I set them down. How do they get filthy, Rachel? Honey,
I was going to say I'm the worst person for that. I always have the filthiest sunglasses.
What is it? What gives?
The problem. I have the same problem.
Human
oil.
Just take a wine glass. If I take a, it's embarrassing to go out to dinner. I put my mitts on it. It's got the smears all over it and the lip marks and everything, much more than everyone else at the table. It's humiliating. I think I'm swarthy. I think it's that we're swarthy.
Yes, we ooze.
We're not fair haired.
We ooze
pretty
our
boys.
Essence.
Right.
Yeah, we're shedding essence.
That's right.
Yes. Dave has a powerful musk, and I think women respond to it just as all creatures of God do.
I told you yesterday, I'm the love skunk.
Javier?
Yeah.
How say you?
Hey, man, what's up?
What's happening?
I want to ask you something. I watch your show on TLC.
Mm-hmm.
And, I see how you boss those guys around and everything. I'm just trying to get in the construction business, you know, as a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, you know, how much do you pay these guys? Or what do they earn? Does the show pay them, or do you pay them?
Those guys were getting like $25 an hour, but I gave them all a bump up because they were on the show, and then I gave them some money for being on the show. But, you know, if you're unskilled, you get $7, $8, $9 an hour. And if you become a glorified goomper, you get like $12, $13, $14 an hour. And then as you become a journeyman, maybe you get $25 an hour, $30 an hour.
Those guys were all actors, though, right?
Yeah.
You went down to a local improv shop and just grabbed
them? I picked up a lot of guys, yeah. Oswaldo's real name is Brad. Brad Sheridan. I think his last name is Sheridan.
He's very convincing.
He's good
very
stuff.
Talented,
yeah, he's a rangy white guy, red-haired guy, Irish or Scottish. I was going to
mix
even
up. Physically transformed himself for the
he's
role.
From the Boston, yeah. Mass area. I was going to say he doesn't speak with an accent, but anyone who's met anyone from Boston knows there is a little bit of an accent there. Yeah. Ray is black.
Wow.
Yeah, name is Lucius. He's he does a lot of voices. He's kind of like the guy from the police squad or the police academy. Thanks, Big Ted. Always can count on Ted for that. Yeah, police academy. Just all the voices, the sirens, right, and stuff like that. Yeah, no one had ever put on bags before or even driven in a nail. So those guys are
It's like Billy
awesome.
Crystal making Mr. Saturday Night 6-8 hours in the makeup chair before the day even began, the acting day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Adam, man?
What's happening, Mike, man?
Man, just chilling. Just wanted to comment on your chapstick scenario. I feel the exact same way when I don't have my chapstick with me.
Yeah. But until you picked it up, you never needed it.
Oh, no, man. Never, ever. Now, like, when I don't have it, I find myself chewing on my lips sometimes.
Yeah. What is it? And by the way, the chapstick in general, I don't like. It's just too waxy. They have some nice stuff. You go to, like, Trader Joe's or one of these markets, has some essence or emollients in it.
You gotta buy the expensive ones.
Well, or just get the ones that are sort of oily and not waxy. It's nice. But then they go rancid. But you're so hooked and so strung out on it that even though the thing smells like old fish oil, you still rub it on because you need a hit. It's like an alcoholic drinking Sterno.
Well,
sad.
It's nothing more
And that's
painful.
How they found him, clinging to his chapstick.
You want to know the worst one, though, is that Carmex stuff, because it has, like, menthol in it or something. That's the worst stuff to use, man.
Yeah. And so, there's always a weird etiquette thing when somebody has that thing where they put their finger in it and they rub it around, then they rub it on your lips, and then you want to hit, but they're kind of weird, and then it's vice versa, and whose finger was in there. They do that in the makeup chair, but they always put the Q-tip in there and rub it around. Other thing I wanted to talk about, switching gears, as I was watching the news this morning, and they should be able to comment on the news. They never really do. They just kind of tell you what happened, and no matter how bizarre, outlandish it is, or even if there's questions involved, they never raise those questions. But there's a story out of Van Nuys where a guy dropped, I don't know if you guys saw this on the local news, guy dropped a toiletry bag, one of those like overnight suitcase toiletry bags filled with $15,000 in it. And another guy found it, and he returned it to police, and the guy got his money back. But there was a couple things that were interesting about the story. One is, only in L.A. can both guys, both parties, the guy who found it and the guy whose money it was, have to work through an interpreter to tell the world their story, which is a horrible sign if you're living in this city. The guy who found it was like Juan Mandel Mendoza. He had to use an interpreter, and then the guy who got the money had to thank him via the interpreter, which is, you get used to it when you live out here in L.A. Like, you hear about it all the time. Well, this guy, and, you know, you see people interviewed on the news. As a matter of fact, most people you see interviewed on the news, because the trouble doesn't happen in Encino in Beverly Hills. It happens in the bowels of, you know, the inner city. A lot of folks working through an interpreter. Which would be weird if you were in another state or even in Canada, or, well, maybe you have the French Canadians. But if you're in another part of the world, how many folks do you hear working through an interpreter in their actual language, in their news, in their city? I think it's a bad sign. But the thing that was interesting about this story was the guy lost $15,000. $7,000 of it was returned in the bag, in the original bag that it was in, to the police department. And then the guy got a thanks, but he got no finder's fee. He got no reward money. But what happened to the other money? I mean, if you're leaving a bank and you have a toiletry bag, a leather toiletry bag with $15,000 in it, and it drops and you misplace it, does somebody pick it up, take $8,000 of it, and then put the other $7,000 back on the ground? Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How does this work? And nobody in the news ever goes, what the F? So you mean he lost 15, but 7,000 of it was returned? If you're stealing, steal the whole thing. Or if you're going to return it, you return the whole thing. Nobody takes $8,000 from themselves and then returns 7. Somebody's lying. Let's get the interpreter on the blower and get to the bottom of this. So that was one thing. The other thing, it reminded me of when I found $50 at the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey, not in a toiletry bag, not in a wallet, but loose, a $50 bill floating.
Wow.
Floating in outer space.
How old were you?
I was probably about 5 or 6.
Oh, what a windfall.
Well, one would think, except for my mother said we should give it to Lost and Found. And I thought, even at 15, I thought, you nutty broad. I mean, at 5. When I was 15, I had stronger words. But at 5, I thought, are you high? I didn't even know what high is, but are you it? I intend to get high later when I find out what it is. But are you, by the way, where's the chapstick? And are you high? Who's gonna come in and collect $50 as a loose bill, just a crumpled up loose bill at the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey at the Lost and Found? And she's like, well, that's what you do. You find something, you turn it in, which was a good message to send to me. So we dropped off the $50, which was, and here's the thing too about money. Not only, and they never do this either, but it's like, it was a lot of money back then, $50 in 1972 or whatever it was good money. But if you're a Corolla, it was really good money because that was like 8 Christmases combined, you know, 8 times. Yeah. You do the math. The point is we turn the money in. And about 2 weeks later, somebody claimed it. Now there's like a statute of limitations. Like if within 10 days, nobody claims this, then you get to keep the $50. I remember, you know, X-ing off the days on the calendar. And by the time we got to day, you know, 5, I was like, all right, now who's coming in a week later and gonna collect this? Well, sure enough, she did.
I'll tell you who, the person behind the counter at the Lost and Found.
Well, of course, that was my was another thought I had at 5 was the, you know, this guy's getting $1.58 an hour is just gonna keister this 50 and limp back to his apartment. But it turned out to be a heavy set black woman who collected the money, and she actually came to our crappy rented house and she gave me a $10 reward.
Wow.
Which I had to split with my sister, and I've done some math, interest compounded over the years. I mean, she's into me for that $5. But the point is yeah, it gave us, I didn't like splitting it with my sister. I didn't know if that was a good message, but I did feel good about it, and she was nice enough to come over and give us $10. So.
Let me tell you this.
This guy got nothing, by the way. The guy with the $7,000.
I had this experience a couple months ago. I left my iPod at the gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 minutes later realized, oh my, I just left it sitting there. I have to go back for it. I went back to the gymnasium and I go to the counter. It's gone. So I go to the counter and I say to the guy, hey, anybody turn in an iPod? It was just 5 minutes ago. Now I know that it was the guy behind the counter who found it. No one would walk by and say, oh, an iPod, I'm stealing it. This guy saw me leave or something. He saw an iPod. He's like, ooh, I'm putting that in my pocket. I went to the counter. I said, have you gotten an iPod? No. I have, I'll keep my eyes out for it. I know it's in his pocket. He knows it's in his pocket, but I'm too polite to say,
yes.
All right. I know you haven't. This is an uncomfortable situation. I know you haven't. Now just give me the iPod back. I can't do it.
Yeah. And then he heard Modest Mouse coming from the guy's backpack and knew. Here's the thing, though. Here's what I do believe. I think all we do is talk about how evil everyone is and how screwed up everyone is and how shifty and nefarious everyone is. I think the reality is 9 out of 10 and more than 9 out of 10 people you know and in society would return wallets, cell phones, iPods if you just clearly labeled them. And they've even done these experiments, and they work.
That's why people should have a Brother P touch.
That's a very good point. Put that label. I'm telling you, if you put a label on your cell phone, on your wallet, on your iPod, on whatever you have, and it says, look, if found, please call this number. I believe 9 out of 10 people that find it, depending. Now, look, if you lose it at a cockfight in Simi Valley, maybe not. But if you're just, you know, walking out of the parking lot at work or going into a restaurant to eat and the thing falls out on the sidewalk, I say 9 out of 10, maybe more, would pick it up and do the right thing and return it. And again, it's that sort of thing where you go, oh, please, everyone's in it for themselves. But look around. Think about the people you hang out with. Think about your family. Think about your neighbors. Think about your neighborhood, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. Everyone you know would return it. Right?
True.
Yeah. True. Right?
Yeah.
So why not? Why wouldn't people do that? I think they would. And They conducted a test once where they did that. They put numbers on. They took cell phones and they took wallets and they took things like that. And they just sort of spread them around, left them on bus stops and stuff like that. And 90% of the time, the phone rang. I say do it. How say you?
I say yay.
I say yay.
I say well done, sir.
Rachel, how say you?
I say yay. Put your name on stuff and then maybe.
But you raise an interesting, but you remind me, we should have cockfighting in here.
Oh, no, that, yeah, that's
let's
what,
conduct some cockfights in here one day.
Entire thing, that's where I was leaning. So I went through the whole chapstick and everything just to get here.
I kind of thought it was already.
Oh, wow. George?
Yes.
You know why it was, you know why it was only, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You know why it was only $7,000?
Yeah, he had taken money out of three different banks. Out of that bank, he took $7,000 and lost it in the parking lot. He had three different accounts around town, from what I understand from the original news report.
So he lost money. He was losing money all over town.
No, just at that one bank, he lost $7,000. I don't know how much he took out of the other two accounts, but out of that one particular account was $7,000.
All right. And
is it Lowe's radio, or is he
going to yeah, something's going on. Now, is that, that's not his radio, is it?
It's a cell phone.
All right.
That's his droid. That's his R2 unit.
Yeah. All right. George, thank you.
Sure.
And by the way, really, if somebody takes $7,000 cash, $7,000 cash, finds it, brings it to the police department, and you get your $7,000 back, at what point do you flip the guy 20?
He didn't give him any money?
You know what I mean? No, there's no reward.
Right, right.
Which I like, but at what point? You know what I mean? The guy brings, the guy drops you off at the airport, the town car, you flip him a 20, the waiter does a nice job, you flip him a 20. At what point do you just reach into that sack of 7,000 large and pull out $100 and give it to the guy who got you every penny back?
Why is he taking $7,000 out of various banks all over town in the first place? Maybe it was ransom money or something.
Maybe he
couldn't afford the 20.
Turns out he had to have an operation in Lake Peru, so I'll see you in hell, Rachel Perry. Through a porthole of thickened glass from an air-conditioned center. But I will be watching you. I don't mean I'll be in hell with you. I'll be viewing you in hell.
Like you'll be in like the bar area.
I'll be, you know, those swanky bars where you see the hot chicks swimming around in the pool through the big Lexan. I'll be enjoying a smart cocktail while you roast in hell. That's how I will see you in hell. Okay. And I will also have it wired so I can hear your screams of pain. So I will see and hear you, which they don't really talk about. I'll hear you in hell, too. But I will not be in hell myself. But make that clear. I will watch video surveillance footage of you in hell from the comfort of my own TiVo. That's what I'll... In hell. Okay, then. Yeah. Mike Lynch has a good idea. We should take a wallet, put a number on it, and throw it out in the sidewalk and see if the phone rings.
Let's take Tad's wallet.
I say people are good. Tad. Well, wait a minute.
I have...
Of course it's going to ring because there's nothing but trading cards and bottle caps in there. We have to find a wallet that actually has money in it.
Let's use Mike August's wallet. It's
yeah, I don't think people are going to... People aren't going to return a Pop-Tart in your in your high school ID. Come on, Tad.
Come on.
Use your head, buddy. All right, let's figure this out. But I'd like to do that. A little social experiment. I'd like to put a number. Obviously, don't say it's us, but put a number out there. Let's put it on a wallet. If somebody wants to just find a wallet and stuff some... And I don't know what the amount is, either.
Why don't you just take a $100 bill...
Put a number on it?
Put a number on it.
Yeah.
Say, if found, please return and see what happens.
It's interesting.
Just throw it outside the building.
That's an interesting idea, but I wonder if that's going to appear to be queer to people. Like, what is this? Like, they're going to start looking around for a hidden camera. Like, why is a number written on this bill?
That's even better.
With no ID.
We could try that as well. I think we should take a wallet, take the ID, take everything out of it, just put you know, $80 in it and put the number on it and see if people... See if people call.
Wallet with no ID in it?
I'm just trying to think what the ID gets us. And I'm also wondering who wants to give up their ID. Rachel Perry, who's going to the DMV anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, that's my point.
But then she's good looking, and so some
guy thinks
some
he has a shot.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Why we have Ted, probably, right?
All right. No. All right. Let's work this out. But
how
we should
much more
get...
confusing is it to find a wallet with no ID and a $100 bill, though?
Well, I'm saying...
And a number written in it.
Well, you have some validity to your point, but I say a Brother P touch with a number stuck physically to a $100 bill is going to seem really weird. This, at least, is not going to seem as weird. It's probably half as weird, if not less.
Maybe
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe just a billfold.
We could just throw some things in there.
A money clip.
Money clip. Yeah, we'll dress it up. We'll put some.
It'll be like Lost in America, somebody who just dropped out of society.
Yeah. We'll dress it up with some receipts and things like that. All right. Take a little break.
I'm satisfied with that.
Thank you. Cool. Sign off?
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
When you wake up.
You're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Call him now. Now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you is. We're getting our little social experiment underway. We take a wallet, put some money in it, put it out of doors somewhere, and see if the phone rings. I think it will. I say man is generally good. The problem is the guys who are F-ups make the news, and then it doesn't take too many F-ups in order to ruin society. You know, people do that thing where they go, well, it's really only 10% of people. Well, it's not even 10%. You know, what percentage of people that are passing through an airport want to blow up the plane? If it was 1%, it'd be 3 people on every flight. You know what I mean? It is the percentage of people that really want to do harm and they're really F-ups and are truly bad. It's way less than 1%. It's just they cost everyone else all their money. We have to build the prisons. We have to get the
insurance.
We have to get the insurance. We have to do everyone's insurance is 5 times as much as it should be. Everybody has to pay the price.
You got to put up with stupid red light arrows.
Oh.
People don't know how to turn left.
Seriously, all the things we do, all the alarms, all the deadbolts, all the insurance, all the lines at the airport, everything we do is just to accommodate way less than 1% of a-holes.
And yet,
I, by the way, would like to seek the a-holes out and kill them and then get on with society. We could sleep with our screen doors closed at night on the summer. But instead, we just work around the a-holes.
But the a-holes are like the cockroaches of society in that the more powerful You know, pesticides we use against them, the more ways they find to get around them.
It's a good point.
We're making the a-hole smarter.
That's why we have to go to the nest. Do you see what I'm saying?
Where's the a-hole nest?
Well, it starts in the womb. And what we need is people to quit breeding, especially the a-holes. You know who they are. Stop it. And government never wants to talk about it. That's all. I was watching the news. Mayor Villaraigosa over here in Los Angeles is going to deliver the rebuttal to the Republican whatever in Spanish, by the way. That's it. Let's just move to Mexico and then come back here and we can join the ranks. They're always talking about, well, what are we going to do about the homeless? What are we going to do about the poor? What are we going to do about the prisons? What are we going to do about welfare? What are we going to do? Stop crapping out so many kids, everybody. That's what we're going to do about it. Knock it off. That's the point. If you're poor, you don't have any money, quit S-ing out the kids. Please. Please. No one ever wants to talk about it. We want to talk about reform. We want to talk about programs. We want to talk about building new prisons. We want to talk about what are we going to do with these latchkey kids? What are we going to do about the forgotten kids? You realize that half the citizens of blah, blah, blah don't pass the blah, blah, blah and are reading at a blah, blah, blah and aren't educated, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, stop crapping out kids, everybody. And it magically goes away. You want to thin out the prison population? Stop crapping out the kids. You don't want such a high percentage of people on unemployment? Are you violent? How about the violence against women? How about the pedophiles? How about everything, the uninsured, everything in society, all the ills, all the things that politicians say they're going to stop. Oh, we're gonna put an end to illegal immigration. We're gonna put an end to violent crime. We're gonna put an end to the welfare state. We're gonna put an end to prison overpopulating. We're gonna put an end to the traffic. We're gonna fix everything. All that could be fixed with one simple equation. Stop crapping out the kids, you idiots.
How do you do that? How do you stop that?
Well, the first thing you do is
how do you control who has the babies?
You give people incentive.
Oh.
That's what you do. You don't give them an extra check for each kid they crap out. You start getting to people. You start educating them. If you find somebody who is in a high risk category, you give them Norplant. Hit them. give them, start talking about birth control when they're in high school so they don't get pregnant and drop out.
I feel like they do that already.
No, they don't. Now, what politician? Everyone close your eyes and think about which one of these a-hole politicians has ever really addressed that problem. They address all the offshoots of that problem. They address crime, and they address poverty, and they address abuse, and they address homelessness, and they address unemployment. They address everything, but they don't address the nucleus of that problem. It's like the sun in its beams. Its shafts of light head out in all different horrible directions, but yet we got to get to the fiery orb, and that stupid people and poor people and broken families crapping out too many kids.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Thank you. Thank you. Think of the people. Let me ask you this. Everyone, think of the people you know. Happy couple, loving couple, have money. You don't have to be rich to have kids. You just have to be able to take care. You have to be gainfully employed. Think about them. Do we need to worry about their kids?
So your parents shouldn't have, you were poor. Your parents shouldn't have had kids?
Probably not. Probably not. I got to be honest. At least my sister. I feel like they should have had me, but just as a conduit to deliver my message, and then they take me back. You know what I mean?
You crawl back.
I feel like I'm doing God's work. I feel like I was put here for a reason. Yeah, I'm the lone exception. My parents, no, did not have money, and quite possibly shouldn't have had kids. But they only had two. You know what I mean? There's people you hear about having 15 kids, and dad ain't around. You know what I'm saying? They had 8 kids when they were on welfare, and now they have 12. That's all I'm saying. Let's stop it. Stop crapping out the kids, because it's those kids we got to deal with. It's those kids that are going to fill the prisons. It's those kids that are going to fill the rehab centers. It's those kids. No politician will ever talk about it because those people are voting for them. But that's the truth. How else are you going to stop this? You think you can find some kid who doesn't know his dad, who grew up in poverty, who was possibly abused, who's one of 11 kids, and tell him, hey, come on, let's go. Let's just straighten up. Come on, stay out of trouble.
Well,
stay
listen,
away from that gang. Put those drugs down.
The conservatives are the ones who are not only not doing anything about it, they're perpetuating it. They're pro-life.
Yes.
Heaven forbid, pro-life. No, heaven forbid you would ever teach sex education in schools.
Right.
Condom machines. Shame the devil to provide those for...
But yeah, we'll send thousands of condoms over to other third world countries and teach sex education in those countries.
Well, listen, they're both at fault. They're both at fault because the right doesn't want to give sex education and doesn't want to provide, you know, condoms and means of birth control and prophylactics. And the far left is suing the judge that told the welfare mom who crapped out her 6th kid that she's got to go on Norplant. They're going to stand up for her right to have a 7th kid. So both sides are F-ups in this department. They're woefully inadequate. Somebody's just got to have the huevos to stand up and say, listen, idiots, stop crapping the kids out, and society will right itself immediately. Imagine a society. Everyone close your eyes. Rachel, they close? You got to close them. Close your eyes.
You always make me do this.
I don't trust you.
No.
Close your eyes. Are they closed?
Yeah.
No, I saw him open. Close your eyes. Everybody. Big Tad?
Tad's taking a nap.
What's touching?
Oh, okay.
Related
to Tad,
touching me.
Open your eyes. Rachel, close your eyes. Imagine a society.
I'm imagining.
Just for a moment.
Okay.
Two parents, 2 kids, everyone's employed. Everyone takes care of their kids. Now, imagine where crime is.
I'm cold.
Imagine where crime. A crime. Now
it
drug
hurts.
Abuse. Now homelessness.
Ah,
how many folks go homeless who come from two parents who love them
running.
Who have jobs. Think about it. Once in a while, a Lyle Menendez pops up, but hey, what are you going to do? By and large, nothing. Now imagine all the people in prison. Are they from that family? Mom and dad together? Love the kid? Put a little something aside for college? Really? Is that what you think? Go to prison and see who inhabits the prison populace there. See who, have them tell you their story.
What about
Ask
Kelly,
them if they know their dad.
What about Kelly Pickford? Or I think that's her last name, from American Idol. She auditioned the other day, the voice of an angel,
mm-hmm.
and her mother left her when she was like 2.
That's right.
Her father's group been in and out of
group home.
Her father's
that's
been in
right.
and out of prison. She lives with her grandfather.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's going to become our next American
she
Idol.
She has 3 kids and no dad. None of those kids will know their dad, just like she didn't know her. She has 3 children, She was pregnant by 17.
Oh.
Did you see her kids? They're older than she was.
What?
She had the three kids.
That was a different one.
Whoever. She was American Idol. She has three kids and she's like 11. Just stop it. Stop crapping out all the kids. That's all. Society will right itself. It's like nature. It will repair itself. It will fix. You know what
humans,
it's like?
Humans are the
Let
bane
me tell
of society.
You something. We are a lake that will fix itself if we stop polluting it. We don't need to skim it or add chlorine. Just stop dumping the pollution into it. Let it right itself. We will right ourselves. Stop crapping the kids out. You, all you who are having sex right now, get out of there. Pull out. Roll over. Call the day. All right, let's take a break. Wow. Rachel Perry up on her high horse.
Not what?
Woo! Never seen this side her. And I tell you, I don't like it yet. It's frightening me.
I say nay as well.
I say nay. We'll take a break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. I'm drunk. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Seth Meyers is going to be in here from SNL. Seemed to wear. He just walked in. John Cho, also from Harold and Kumar, go to White Castle. Both in the same project. They're going to be coming in here in just a second. We have Christian, who has... he called last week. He's 13, I believe. He was going to call in with a weekly joke. He wants to do stand-up. Christian?
Yeah, Adam.
Hey, Christian. Last week you called with a joke that you'd read or heard, but I told you to come up with an original joke.
Right.
Yeah, because if you're going to be a stand-up and you want to make it, you got to start doing your own material. Do you hear me, Jeff Ross? Now, you're 13. You have an excuse. He's 37. All right, but seriously, Christian, did you compose your own original joke?
I did, and I thought I should probably base it on some of my own experiences, like at school and stuff.
Sure.
What I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, good stuff. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah. This one's actually about PE teachers.
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Scourge
good area.
Society, yeah.
I said, you know what really bothers me is fat PE teachers.
Yeah.
They keep telling us that we're going to be out of shape, but it's hard to be dedicated if you don't have a good role model.
Yeah, hear, hear.
For example, at my school, one of your electives is you can be a teacher's assistant. I have an overweight PE teacher, and he has an assistant. When we start a new sport, they give us these books that teach us the rules and basics of the game. And after we read the books, the teacher demonstrates it for us. But since I have a fat PE teacher, his assistant does it for him.
Mm.
One day we started a new sport and the assistant was absent. He gave us the day off.
Wow. Good stuff.
I like it.
I like it too.
I thought that's exactly right.
That is
fat
true.
Fat PE teacher. Shame on them.
We had Mr. Sapanzi, who was, you know, borderline morbidly obese, who would just yell at kids. He was a huge bear. I never saw the guy move. Yeah, and then Mr. Walters, who invented, of course, the Donkey Squad, which then led to my eating disorder many years later. Christian?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Anything else?
No, that's all I got right now.
All right. That's
Hot
solid.
Stuff. Maybe
that's
you
good.
Could do another one. Build on that, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Next week, do another new one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Should I do it on the same fappy teachers or just...
Well, I think what you should do is smoothly transition into your next topic. But school, you know, how about these locker combos? Or what about this home ec teachers? You know what I mean? Or
all
the
right.
girls, the cute girls in your 7th grade class.
Aren't that many.
Okay, well, what about... Well, that's funny right there. What about your counselor? You have a counselor?
Not me personally. I guess I have one assigned to me, but I, like, never really talk to him. They just have, like, two A through Q.
Yeah, it's interesting. Thanks, Christian. You do learn early and often to avoid people that are in charge of you. All right, I remember it started with school counselors. Like, oh man, I gotta stay away from Mrs. McNamara. I don't want to talk to her. And then that bleeds into foremans, and then that bleeds into bosses, and then it bleeds into office managers, and then eventually goes into relationships, and eventually you're just trying to stay away from people.
How
just,
I avoid you?
Yes, yeah. How you hide from me in the hallway. All right, we are going to take ourselves a little break. We have our intern, Jaron, who, yeah, yes.
He's right here, and he actually has the wallet ready. We're going to do our social experiment. We're ready.
He does.
Yeah.
Jaron, how say you?
Yay.
Yay, he
Yay.
Says.
Yay. Well done.
Whose wallet? Where do we get a wallet?
Bill, the board op, graciously gave his very bad wallet.
I see.
He donated that, and my $100.
All right, so
Jack Silver, if you're listening, I want to expense this.
So we put—he's not listening. It's Big Mark and Brian.
So we put $100 in the wallet, and
right.
we send Jaron out.
All right, we'll see if we get a phone call.
Yeah,
and we'll see if we'll see how we all feel about this. I think we'll get a phone call.
I don't.
You don't.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
see, because you're from New York, you're
yeah.
cynical.
Yeah. Everyone in New York who sees $100 are going to keep it.
Right, and. If you're from New York,
me included, by the way.
If you're from New York, you drop your wallet and somebody returns your money, you'll hit them with the wallet. You'll be angry. What kind of schmuck returns this money? You make me sick. Get out of my face. I'm going to vomit.
And then you steal their money once they're
money.
Out on the ground.
Yeah. You look at it as a weakness, don't you, when you're from New York?
Basically, you're right.
Right. All
I
right.
have a theory that if the wallet was nicer, that we'd have a better chance of getting it back.
I don't. I think that has nothing to do with it. Let me see it, Jaron, by the way. Oh, maybe you're right.
Nice.
All right, we will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back with Seth Meyers and John Schaaf after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, Engineer Bill, give me the hard finger. I don't want the sort of thing that Hitler did when he was on the parade route. You know
Sorry.
What I mean? That sort of, waving Heil to the masses. I want, pow, you're on. Go.
You got it, Ace.
All
Can
right.
we just take note that Adam said that he wants the hard finger?
I want the hard, greasy, yet warmed finger. I don't want that sort of dismissive, hey, why don't you go try doing some radio, kid, and check back with me in a while. I went, pow, go. That's why I got into radio, to get that finger, the high, hard finger.
Oh, boy,
you are
too.
On. Yeah. Seth Meyers, John Cho here. New movie. See this movie?
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure. I'm a fan of both of you. John, I remember from Harold and Kumar. Go to White Castle. We had him in on when we did Loveline. A breath of fresh air.
Thank you. Thank you.
An intelligent actor. Awesome. Awesome. Educated.
He was on an episode of House, too.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yes.
And
you had a problem with your jaw.
I did have a problem with my jaw. I was a pervert with a problem with my jaw.
Freaked me out, that episode.
Thank you. That was my goal.
You were great. You're
John,
great.
How were you... acting before Harold and Kumar, had you done other features in many roles?
Yeah, I mean, I was floating around. I hadn't done a lead, but I was in bit parts in a bunch of movies and had done independents and theater and whatever.
Yeah,
I was very active.
And and Seth, your journey to SNL. First off, I was trying to think. I was talking to Dave in the hall. I figure you've been on for 6 years.
Halfway through five. So that's a pretty decent guess.
Dave had four, so we're right in the middle.
As a show, you did a great job.
I always do this with SNL where I go, well, the guy's been on for five seasons, and then he tells me he's been on for 11, because the first six seasons, I didn't know he was on the show.
Right.
That's and then they come, and then they blossom like a beautiful rose.
Exactly.
That's what happened to you.
My parents watched for 2 years, and were like, are you sure you're on?
My parents would have given me one show and then just tuned out immediately.
Yeah. I remember my first show, the only thing I did was play a floating fish head. And in order to do that, I had to wear a green leotard because it was green screen.
Right.
And I was thinking, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah. Well, is it, and by the way, what do you get paid? Is there a minimum? Does everyone negotiate their own pay, like
no.
their first season, or is there just sort of a base minimum, like attorneys get their first year, depending on what
it's
city they're in?
It's pretty much a base minimum, because like most people that they hire for Saturday Night Live are, you know, toiling around in the lower depths of comedy. Nobody has any leverage
yeah.
to ask for more.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So they give you the base, and then you negotiate as your popularity goes up. I
wish
imagine.
That was true. No, it's all based on the first contract you sign, pretty much.
Really?
It's a sliding scale up every year.
But yeah. If you're there for the first few... But you can renegotiate. I mean,
yeah,
if you become Eddie Murphy on
right.
year number three, don't you go in and ask for more money?
Yeah, although I think Eddie Murphy was probably gone by year number four.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
you can renegotiate, though, absolutely.
All right.
You can demand to Lorne.
I'd like to represent you.
I'd love it. I mean, you're saying things I've never heard from anybody.
Well, I like to watch. It's weird, and especially if you don't watch, like if you tune out for a season and then you come back and start the next season, you'll see the guys that were sort of on the farm team playing AAA, all of a sudden they're in the show and they're playing center field and first base.
Yeah, it must be like, I have to think for Lauren, it must be like being a high school principal where you see all these like scared freshman kids.
Right.
You blank your eyes and all of a sudden they're sort of running the school.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
well,
dead
if you let
from
him
drugs.
Be, if
yeah.
you let him be your agent, forget the 10%. He doesn't even want that. All you have to do is give him the hard finger.
And, that's all and, I want.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Now, are you, with being on camera, were you just destroyed last year when John Kerry lost?
Yeah, I was destroyed. I was at, my brother had an election party I was at, out here in L.A., and I remember reacting to it like I would like a sporting event. Like, everybody was, like, drinking and hanging out, and I was like, we're losing Ohio! So that was the hardest, election I had to go through.
But, I mean, you'll not be able to do as much as if your character wins. And
right.
It's funny that you are the guy and then your character is the guy who's actually running. But if they actually win, you'll get to do more. But you can still get some FaceTime.
It's
with
funny. I actually, you know, when you're on the show, you get to write your own stuff. And when I write Kerry stuff now, trying to get on the show, I feel as desperate as John Kerry does when he tries to get on the news. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, we have a lot in common. We are desperate to get back on television.
Is it brutal over there? I mean, is it that competitive and that cutthroat? I heard that people, for instance, had to stop putting their names on the pieces when they were pitched so the politics would sort of go away.
I had heard that, too, and I've read all the books about the history. I have to say right now, it's an incredibly good group of people, very supportive. There's none of that. Like, everybody puts their names on stuff.
Right.
You know, I think competition helps, certainly, but cutthroat probably doesn't.
Right.
So I'd say we're all very professionally competitive. But it's a brutal schedule. I mean, that's really hard. And as you well know, like, writing comedy week in and week out is really hard.
Well, I've never actually written anything. but I do hear it's tough. No, I will. I say this every time we talk to someone from Saturday Night Live. I don't think people know how difficult it is to do sketch comedy, to be consistently funny at that level. And also, most times when people do sketch comedy, if you're with Second City or you're with the Groundlings or the Acme Theater, you work out a sketch, you hammer it out, and you do it for 3 months.
Yeah.
And you find all the beats and all the nuance. And the first time the guy does it, it's rough, it's bumpy, he's trying to hit his marks, he's trying to remember his lines. And then if you see it 2 months later, the guy's hit his groove. The first time around, it's just like driving a rental car. He doesn't know where anything is. And then after a while, he becomes acclimated. You guys get to throw stuff up one time, and then it goes away. Next week, it's time to do another one. So everything is sort of the maiden voyage.
Yeah, and you know, also with Second City, you know, I came from a sketch background as well. You can always sort of charm the audience, but even with our show, with a live audience, I mean, you're ultimately playing the cameras.
Right.
So it's that weird thing if you're doing it for people you can't see, which is...
I just, again, more ass-licking here. I just say that people, I think, wax nostalgic about the old SNL and how great everyone was and how high their batting average was, and then sometimes they go, oh, well, the show today, you know, these... Go watch a Nick at Night or whatever they run the old ones on. Go watch Saturday Night Live from 1976. You tell me the batting average.
Yeah.
There are some sketches that go on for 8 minutes. Now, you've weeded out all your favorite sketches from, you know, John Belushi and company, but go back and watch them. There'll be ones you never heard of where Buck Henry talks into a can with yarn on it for 20 minutes, and you have no idea what it is or who it is.
And the other thing about the reruns, of course, is they're always the hour version of the 90-minute show. So
right, so they thin it out.
You do much better in reruns.
Here, yes. If you guys were a half hour, you'd be twice as good.
Exactly.
I agree. Maybe let's make it 15 minutes. That's going to be part of my pitch when I'm trying to get you more money.
That's going to be rough. That's not going to work.
All right. So the see this movie. What is this movie about?
You want to take it?
Yeah, I guess I play a filmmaker, and John plays my my friend, and we basically talk our way into the Montreal Film Festival to show our movie that we haven't filmed yet. So we show up in Montreal, and we have about 3 weeks till it airs, and so we're trying to shoot our movie on the fly.
And the movie is us trying to shoot our movie.
Right.
So it's us holding the camera.
Where did you shoot the movie?
We actually did go to Montreal.
Yeah, we shot in the Montreal Film Festival.
You go to those strip clubs?
You know, somebody had an epic night of driving.
We did not,
somebody
right?
heard about like the Shangri-La of strip clubs and like ended up in Calgary.
Really?
Like, a bunch of people that worked on the movie.
It was a nefarious cab driver.
Yeah.
Took a boatload of us and
yeah.
I wasn't there, but they came back in the morning and
yeah. It was like, I mean, because we were shooting like crazy long hours and stuff, and nobody needed to go on a journey to the best strip club ever, which they've been.
Look, I don't know what you're trying to do, but it's not working. Like, I know people.
I'll write down the address for you.
I've been to the strip clubs in Montreal. They're awesome, and it's a nice little core sample of the society you're in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a good idea. You get to find out how people look and how they behave and how they interact. And it's always nice when you get to go somewhere that doesn't have a stupid rule that your stupid country has. Like, oh my God, they serve whiskey and they don't have to wear pasties? This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem like a kid in a candy store. I remember that 20 bucks was only 17 bucks or whatever it was, and was delighted by it at the Canadian strip clubs, however it broke down. I also have this theory. I don't know if you guys can help me with this or not, but I have this theory that because ATMs only spit out $20 bills, everything is now $20.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I was driven around last weekend because I had a little business out of town, and it was 20 bucks to the guy who dropped me off, and then another 20 bucks to the guy over here, and another, it's 20 bucks to everybody. Some of the guys just grab a bag and throw it 10 feet. They deserve 5 bucks or 10 bucks. Lap dances, everything is $20 because that's, you have the ATM at the strip club, it spits out 20s, therefore lap. If it spat out $17 bills,
right,
that's how much a lap dance would be. Eventually, candy bars, I'm saying, is going to go up to 20. Eventually, $20 will be what everything costs.
Wasn't there a short-lived, there was a bank, I remember, when I was in high school that spat out fives and tens.
Ooh, where is this bank?
I want to say it was like a Washington Mutual or something, but yeah, it was a lower tier bank. And
five,
I don't
tens,
think
and it was Confederate money.
Chad?
Yeah.
You have a question for Seth?
Yeah, hey, actually, I just want to say, Adam, I love the show.
Thanks.
Great. Rachel, you're hot.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Seth, you're very funny, too. I like you on Saturday Night Live.
Thank you.
Hey, do you have a brother in show business or anything?
I do. My brother Josh, he was on Mad TV for 2 years, and now he's on That 70s Show.
Okay, yeah, because I watch both shows, and I kind of was confused because you guys look alike, so.
No, it's he's a taller, handsomer version of me.
All right.
If that's possible.
Right.
The one with the flippy hair on the scene.
Thank you. Yes. Flippy hair is very accurate.
Did Seth, where are you from? I don't know where you're from.
I grew up in New Hampshire. I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in New Hampshire.
And is your family extroverted? Your parents come from the theater? Any of that stuff?
No, not at all. My mom studied theater at college, but they're very extroverted. They're very outgoing, funny people. But it's funny, we come from the same hometown as Sarah Silverman and Adam Sandler.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So we would all come from the small town in New Hampshire.
It's a hot pocket of comedy over there.
Comedy.
Yeah, it really is. And so, and you know, not your prop comics, but your thinking man's
exactly.
comics. Your comics comics.
Right. Well, that's the thing about New Hampshire.
Well,
I wonder
if somebody could figure it out. I mean, it's sort of an interesting idea that there are cultures that aren't exactly hotbeds of comedy, such as the Middle East. You know, there's certain cultures that once it gets too hot and you spend the better part of your day looking for water and swatting flies, I think you lose your sense of humor.
Right.
It would be interesting that within America, within the United States, if there were climates, it's sort of like, well, Seattle had a music scene and different parts of different regions have sort of scenes, but
yes.
You don't hear about the Idaho music scene, and you don't hear of a lot of comics coming out of Wyoming.
And when you hear grunge music, you're like, I guess it makes sense that it comes from a place where it rains all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So my point is, yes, grunge music doesn't come from San Diego because people are too busy getting laid and wakeboarding.
Having a good time, right.
Right. Yeah. Yes. When you're having a good time, you never sing about anything that's bad.
Yeah.
You're just getting laid. But I wonder if if someone could break this down, there should be some big chart that has like comics, and they should be represented by a color, and they should be like, oh, here's where they all come from.
Because least funny state.
Yeah. Well, like, for instance, California, not too many comics come from California. They end up here.
Right.
But people right. here are too busy outdoors having a good time. Like, here's an interesting thing. Or maybe it's not interesting. Maybe I shouldn't have to yell everything's interesting. Maybe people should just listen and decide. God damn it, this is interesting.
Say it and then finish and go, that was interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do it both ways. I'll okay. try it both ways.
Who's ready to laugh?
Here's something that's provocative and interesting, and you are going to be floored by this.
You're like the Donald Trump of radio.
People from Los Angeles, and I come from Southern California in Los Angeles. We don't know any card games. We know 21 and we know poker, but we don't know night baseball and Anaconda and all this kind of stuff because it doesn't snow. Right. And I realize all my buddies who are from Michigan and from all parts around the country, we sit down and play cards. Every single one of them knows 1,000 card games. Me and my buddies from out here, we know 2 because we're outdoors. So it has an effect, the weather, the climate, the conditions. I wonder if it does the same with comedy. I wonder if you're outside all day playing hoops and kicking a can around, you don't develop the same sense of humor that Sarah Silverman did locked in her stepdad's basement while it was snowing outside.
Right. Well, it's certainly because Canada, of course, there's so many comics come from Canada, so that would bear the same yeah. theory.
Yeah, see, I don't think Arizona is a good comedy place. Nope. Certainly Africa, probably not, the continent. I'd say the hotter it is, the worse.
Yeah. yeah.
But then on the other hand, not a lot of funny guys from Antarctica or the North Pole either. All right, we are going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, Seth, you're going to read from the Star Jones book?
I'd love to.
You're going to do it as John Kerry?
Sure.
More theories, more interesting, provocative theories.
That was interesting. Your last theory was interesting.
Let's get that map together after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. John Cho, Seth Meyers here. See this movie? It is out as we speak. We, John from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, probably best known from, and Seth, of course, from Saturday Night Live. We sent Jerron out to conduct our intern, Jerron, a little social experiment. We took a wallet. Bruska, producer Bruska, put $100 of his own money.
$100
into the wallet. is it 20s? Is it a single?
Yeah, it's 520.
520s. No ID, but we made it look like a wallet.
Yeah,
a real wallet.
Papers, receipts.
And how did we label it with the call, return call?
We put in our number here. So
yeah, but how did we do it?
Clearly labeled with the Brother P-Touch label, one of our sponsors.
Nice.
And put it inside the wallet clearly. So
If found,
please return.
Yeah.
Yeah, if found, please return, and please call this number.
I say that we spend a lot of time picking on society, talking about how bad people are. Of course, the news is filled with, you know, parents that threw their kids into dumpsters and nativity scenes that were sodomized in front of the church. Look, you drink. That's what happens around the Christmas holidays. I'm not proud of
people
it. On the other hand,
too.
I'm
it's
not going to deny it. But the point is, but yet everyone you know is pretty decent, right? You know, if you think about it, if you dropped your wallet at a friend's house, you'd get it back. I say society's much better than we give it credit for. I say 9 out of 10 people are decent. I say if you put your number on your wallet, if you put your number on your cell phone, if you put a number on a MP3 player or an iPod and said, if found, return to, I say 9 times out of 10, you would get a phone call. So we're going to conduct an experiment.
But I bet you that but it's only because it's in a wallet and it looks and it's $100. If it was a brown paper bag.
Right.
With $1,000 and a pistol in it.
Right, yeah.
And you have the same card.
Yeah, and a hooker's head and a kilo of heroin.
Then I always forget to put, please call if found, on my hooker's head.
You got to.
As soon as you get them, you like put your number
okay.
on.
Okay, but here's the rule, Seth. You do it before you cut them off.
That's right.
See, that's how you remember.
I always find that then they know I'm about to cut their head off.
you know, but they can't read it unless they put it in a mirror, and even then it's backwards,
that's
and
true.
A lot of them are pretty high.
All right, I'm writing I love you.
Jerron?
Yes.
Are you at, where are you at?
I'm at the farmer's market right now.
All right. And
what, we're telling people?
Yes.
That we're leaving a wallet with $100
well,
at the farmer's market?
We don't know what state this farmer's market's in. No. They're spread out all over this great land of ours.
We could also tell them to go somewhere else and not tell anybody. We
yes.
Do whatever we want.
We could, but we're not. Jerron?
Yes.
You're at the farmer's market?
Correct.
All right. And are you in a semi-populated area?
I'm in the food court right now. There's a lot of people out here having breakfast. A
lot of people. And how are you going to let the wallet... How are you going to put it down? Are you going to slide it down your pant leg and let it fall out like a prisoner's digging a tunnel and taking dirt out into the yard? Or
I'm
you just,
gonna,
yeah.
I'm just going to sit down and have breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
With the $100?
Yeah.
Leave the change?
Yeah, leave the change for them.
All right. So you're just going to leave it on the table?
Yes.
All right, Jerron. I would like you to actually, I would like you to actually throw it on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like if you put it on the table, that somebody from the establishment, you know, who's bussing dishes or something might collect it. I feel like it would be a pure form of my experiment if you actually just dropped it in you know, sort of in between places on the ground. If you can get away with it without somebody seeing you drop it.
Okay.
All right?
Not a problem.
All right. And bring back some of that fresh-pressed orange juice, would you?
That sounds good.
Please. All right, Jerron.
All right.
I say the phone will ring. I say society's much better. And I say, hold on a second, Brasco. I say it's killing us all slowly thinking everyone is evil. Every time you set that alarm, every time you double bolt your front door, this sort of thing where everything's going to get, needs insurance because it's going to get ripped off. I say it's a weird way. I mean, it's sort of like the terrorist threat. It's a weird way of sort of just quietly and generally and slowly freaking you out. Just looking over your shoulder. Nature of man is not bad. Yes, Brasco.
I'm wondering if we started a new experiment just by mentioning where it is, how many people are listening to our show. It's like the mob of people come for that wallet or nobody. That might give us a little clue what the ratings of this show will be.
Well, I don't think you want to know that answer, Brasco. The other thing is I'm hoping that the folks within the farmer's market aren't packing radios. That people that are listening are in their cars,
right.
And by the time they get in, someone will have picked it up. All right, let's keep on keeping on. As promised, Seth Meyers was going to read from the Star Jones book.
Shine.
Right. Which is a physical, emotional, and spiritual journey.
Yeah.
So it's three journeys.
And like I say, who better to dispense advice on love than a woman that's arguably been with one partner in 44 years? One, maybe.
Maybe three times maybe, total.
Yeah. I think Seth's selection today comes from the portion when she describes how she came to know Al Reynolds.
And you're going to do it as John Kerry. Yes?
Yeah, and I should warn you, by reading this paragraph, it's already boring. And when John Kerry does stuff, it doesn't get more exciting.
All right.
So,
when I walked into that room the day I met Al Scales Reynolds, I didn't walk in with the intention of meeting someone. I walked in with my mind on feeling good about me. I was prepared. I'd started on getting ready. My relationship with God was strong. My health was getting better by the day, and my weight loss program had been moving along for months. When that tall, smart, wonderful man took my arm, I was emotionally, physically, and spiritually ready. That's the third sentence in a row that has three things in a row.
She evokes God, by the way, in every syllable. We've had this done randomly in five different spots of this book, and everything starts off as God, her and God, me and God.
Well, if she believes in God, you would have to say she owes him a lot of thanks at this point.
I deserved him, and you know what? I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me.
Well, she's not a hard target to hit, I gotta tell you. She's easy to find. She's like the sun.
Wow.
I
don't think, I think it's safe to say John Kerry has never said, I'd started on getting ready.
Powerful stuff.
It is powerful stuff.
May I ask a question of Seth?
No.
All right.
Okay.
I want to know this. I hear tale from people who've been around this Saturday Night Live thing that the parties on Saturday Night After Show, decadence.
Yes.
Women throwing themselves at you. A fella who looks like you do, you and the, Jimmy Fallon, rock stars, women hurling themselves in your direction, yes?
What it is boozing till like 7 in the morning, and then I think at that time people are like, it was decadent, but it was just boozing. You know, like at 7 in the morning, you remember it as being a lot more fun than it was.
Where do they have them? I'm always curious. Is it there? Is it on the set?
I wish I could say.
Do they go to a club?
It's
well,
really...
I don't. Not for me, but I have famous friends who might want to go.
It's different places every week.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah, we go to like, we usually start at a restaurant. We get there at like 1:30, and then we go to a second party.
It's good because if you did SNL in LA, every place would be closed as soon as you guys wrap.
Absolutely.
And what is that? You know, I was in North Carolina trying to get a cocktail before I got on the airplane last Sunday, and couldn't get any booze because they don't serve in North Carolina on Sundays before noon. And I just thought, first off, shouldn't all airports just be sort of synced up in international waters? But secondly, let's just do it for the towns. There's nothing worse right. If you travel, especially if you like a cocktail. Oh, no, we don't serve. No, on Sunday. No, before. No, we don't. You know, just let's just work it out. It works okay for you guys. You guys last call at 3 a.m. or whatever it is. Let's just work that out here.
It works great.
Yeah.
I would think I was in South Carolina at like Myrtle Beach for like a bachelor party, and there's some, it's even more weird than
we
Sunday
start,
mornings.
Our thing is we can start boozing at 6 a.m. here.
Right.
And I don't know if New York might be at like 9 a.m. or if it's pushed back a little bit. But the point is we can start, but we cut off early, but then we make up for it by starting early. But I would argue that's a more dangerous group. The guy who says, I'm going to have a couple of pops. It's 6:45 in the morning, has a bigger problem than the guy who wants to just keep the party going at 2:15.
Well, that's like when you go to London, you know, I know they just extended, I think, but like the pubs close at like 10 or 11. And like, so there's just the streets are filled with like the rowdiest drunks at a time where like regular people are still out.
Right. All right. Oh, somebody found the wallet. Somebody has
the
wallet.
Let's see what happens.
Your gun?
Yeah.
You're on a radio program, by the way.
Okay. Anyway, I found a wallet here in the farmer's market.
I knew a fan would find it. Big fan.
So I will give it to the security guard.
Jorgen, do you listen to the Adam Carolla radio show?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Done and done. Put a check next to that box. And where are you from, Jorgen?
Originally Denmark.
Oh, okay. And what are you doing in the farmer's market?
I work at the gift and gadget nook.
You work in the gift and gadget nook?
Uh-huh.
Did you come to Los Angeles to pursue a dream of working at the gift and gadget nook at the farmer's market, or did you want to act?
Well, he stopped over in New Hampshire to get his comedy chops together and then headed out to L.A.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I'm in a hurry. I have to get to work.
I'm sorry, Jorgen. I know. Fans, they get so nervous, they put their foot in their mouth. Yeah. Jorgen.
Tough to keep a couple of 20s.
You were just walking, and you saw the wallet on the ground.
No, I'm sitting here having a cup of coffee, and I saw the wallet.
Coffee's
okay,
on me.
And, you picked up the wallet, and why did you phone in?
Because there's a phone number there to call.
And did you ever think about keeping the money that was in the wallet?
No, because
I thought he was going to say what money.
If I had got my wallet back, if I lost it,
you would want people to do the same for you, right?
Right.
Thank you. You're a hero. Ooh. You're a hero, Jorgen.
So I give it to the security guard.
Give it.
If Jerron is still there,
if there's a skinny black guy there, you can give it to him. Although.
Okay,
let's make sure you pick the right one.
That's terrible advice to give.
Yes, I know. I should probably. His name is Jerron. He's standing nearby.
Yeah, he's right here.
Okay. There he is. Give it to him. Take 20 out for yourself, though, Jorgen.
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy.
He's got to get back to the nook.
He's got to get back
to the nook. It's your 20 theory. if the ATM didn't spit out 20s, you wouldn't have said keep 20 for yourself.
You would have
said 5.
Take a $17.50 bill for yourself is what it would be, but it's always 20. Right. It would have said take a 5.
Danes are so naturally funny.
We should really keep going with that experiment and figure out where the funny is and how to cultivate it.
Yeah. I say we send Jerron to another location. Have him drop off the rest of the wallet.
I do too. I do too. We should just keep
going.
You're out of
your mind.
Yeah, just try to give away
me some money.
Yeah,
first.
Just try to give away your money, Brusca.
An undisclosed location this time.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because obviously that was a fan who raced over in his automobile.
Someone, if it's another person who finds it named your gun.
Kid was the kid was over the moon. Let's send him out a T-shirt, by the way. Let me sign that. I'm sure he'd want me to sign it. Huge fan. All right. Well,
the gift and gadget nook must just be hopping this time of day as well. He's got to get back there.
Right.
Yeah.
Rushing.
Jorgen, we're out of the salt shakers. Come on, buddy. Let's focus now.
I don't want to hear your wallet story.
Yeah. Let's go. Those custom ashtrays with the kids' names on them aren't going to restock themselves, Jorgen. Let's get going now. It's hop to it now, buddy. Jorgen's got to be a delight to work with. Oh, Jorgen, we're going out and doing karaoke Saturday. Yeah. No.
No, I got to stay home. I got to keep building the Adam Carolla fan website. I'm working too hard on that.
The candles on the Adam Carolla shrine have blown out. I must rekindle them. Yeah. All right. I want to thank Seth and John for coming in here. God bless you, too.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Myers, John Cho. See this movie. It is out as we speak. And Seth, good luck with SNL.
Thank you very much.
You tell us when Harold and Kumar Part 2 is coming out. And is it coming out? It's a question up on the screen.
We are putting it together as we speak.
Good
awesome.
Man.
Yeah,
good so man.
Hopefully that works out.
Love that movie. We will take ourselves a break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
Kevin Nealon, and if you're not listening to The Adam Carolla Show, I hope you have a good excuse. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Well, yeah, 866-901-ADAM. We conducted a little social experiment. Had our intern, Jaron, hit the streets, take a wallet with $100, put a phone number, put our phone number on it, drop it off, and lickety-split, just like that. Got a phone call saying you got a lost wallet.
But from
Brusca.
A guy named Jurgen or something like that. So all we really learned is that Europeans are decent. You know,
I know
for
but
sure.
it's first off, everyone here is an American. That's the way I look at it, unless you're Puerto Rican, in which case, you know, you're always Puerto Rican. But other than the Puerto Ricans, everyone here is an American. That's the way I look at it. Number one. Number two, it's unfair. We're not going to be able to drop a wallet anywhere in this town and get somebody to pick it up who's from Orange County, born and bred. Everybody here is from somewhere. Mm. So I think that's a flimsy excuse to say, well, this guy's from Europe.
Well, and as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I don't really see national lines.
I don't see colors.
I mean, we're all human beings.
I don't see colors. I do smell, though. I do. And I get a lot of foreigner smell. I do know that. Yeah, but I don't see. I'm colorblind. Colorblind, like an old dog. I see them, but I still got a beak like McGruff. Tell where you're from by sniffing you. Jack, you're from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, right, wow. Keen knows.
Let's see. Rachel Perry. Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Brusca, you're from Who Caresburg? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah. Let's see. Mike Lynch. Lowell? Mm-hmm. PA? Yeah? Yeah? Thank you. Angie is one of our producers on this show. It struck us all that she has never played Ask Kiss Rodeo.
And I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I can tell.
She's nervous.
You're beaming. Because we were going to play it in the 6 o'clock hour, and then I told her we're not going to play, and she did a shoulder roll out of the studio. That's right. Like we're filming SWAT in here. She just dove and did the duck and cover. Now... Yeah, that's the sound it made. We were going to do some news and sports here, but I realized we just don't have enough time. We'll do it right after the top of the hour. So we thought we'd fill a little time by playing some Ask Kiss Rodeo. Yeah.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, I'll tell you, dropping that wallet and having the phone call really makes me realize that the nature of man is generally good.
You're right. People are good.
Yeah, but then how do you explain all the evil in the world?
Some people are bad. You're right. You're right.
Hmm. Yeah. I like Tab. Tab's my diet drink.
Tab is delicious. You're right. Did I mention you're great?
Not as good as Diet Pepsi, of course.
Well, no, nothing's as good as Diet Pepsi.
Which pales in comparison to Diet Coke.
I'm sorry, you. I got a little distracted. Because you're so good looking.
She's back on the horse.
Back on. It's back on. It's back on. Yeah. I don't see why. I'm for gay marriage. How say you?
I say yay. Whatever you say, I say.
Yeah, whatever the. But I read the Bible quite a bit. I do believe a man and a woman should be together, not a man and a man.
The way you speak, so persuasive.
You know what? I gotta say, Angie. Yeah. No. Here's. I don't want to be tough.
Wow.
But
okay.
Here's the way I feel. It's a little too abridged. It's a little too short. You know, it'd be nice. You don't want to wax on, but you do want to be a little.
You want me to give a little bit more
creative? Yeah. If I bring up the Bible, you say, "Well, you are the Almighty." I mean, you are from
you're
your
my
lips
Moses,
to
Adam. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. I'll say this. From my perspective, that was downright lousy.
Mm.
I'm sorry. If you
speaking
listen,
from someone who's never
can,
done it,
can I tell you
Ooh.
Something?
Oh, yeah.
Can
Why
I tell
don't you,
you
do
something?
It, by the way,
let me tell you something right here and now.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I'm somebody who tells the truth. Mm-hmm. I just tell it like it
Speaks
is.
Speaks his mind.
If
a lot of people can't handle it.
Yes,
if you don't like the truth, well, then you know maybe right. I'm not the guy. But if you want to have tea and crumpets, you know, and have a tea, you know, a party with everything, well, then you know, go elsewhere because that's not the way.
Did I say when a tea and crumpets? I'm listening to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That stunk.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Why don't you try it, Mr. Tough Guy?
It's not in me.
Yes, it is.
It's not my way.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the show, you kiss his ass, but when we ask you to do it, you won't do it.
Whoa.
And also, there's
it's
an inherent
you
problem.
To admit it.
There's an inherent problem with this in that the champ, Mike Lynch, has got the buzzer.
I agree.
So it's
heavy-handed
like, he's
on
like
that.
Throwing people off the bull because he wants to remain champ, and I don't think this is fair.
Well, hold on a second.
I follow Adam's lead.
Yes,
I'm watching him
magnificent
face.
Thank you.
For signs that the writer.
When he
the...
sees...
I feel that Angie was pulling out style though, and you couldn't even recognize it.
Well,
couldn't even recognize it. Fast on the buzzer.
Here, let me say this. First off, Mike was focused on this man's face, which, by the way, should be on a postage stamp. He is that good looking.
I agree.
And that great American. Well, I've fallen into my own trap. I'm gonna ask this rodeo, and it's gonna be like a snake eating its own tail. I'll just envelop myself. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna ping, and I'll disappear. I agree. Mike is working the sound, and he has the belt buckle right now.
Right.
On the other hand, he's looking at me. He's looking at my expressions. And Angie, while technically strong. And I think you break this up like right. ice skating. There's the compulsory part, and then there's just the freestyle. Technically strong with the yes and mm-hmm. you're right. Mechanical.
Gotta
a little stilted.
That.
You are technically very good, but
thank
I want to see some of your own flavor.
I
want to see some of you kissing my ass. Okay?
I will practice.
You
will practice
read the manual and looked at the schematic for Ass mm-hmm. Kiss Rodeo. Now I want to know what Angie says.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Because I haven't seen her.
Yeah.
Where is she? Have you seen her, Shaq? I haven't seen her. I see a robot that looks like producer Angie kissing my ass. The cold metallic taste of her cold metal lips on my rear end, but I've not seen an actual flesh and blood Angie kissing my ass. Have you? Has anyone seen it?
No. Style. Substance.
Style.
I'll work.
Flair. Je ne sais quoi.
I'll say this.
I gotcha.
I'll say this. I, as judge, say this.
Yeah.
She's a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
And I hope she'll get another chance.
She'll land on her feet. She'll land on her feet.
Right.
Okay. She'll
keep
be
your
back.
Chin up.
She'll be back. You
yes,
get
I
yourself,
will.
You pick yourself up by your mm-hmm. own bootstraps. You dust off those chaps and you head, we put the hat back on and you will live to play another round of Ask This Rodeo.
I can't wait.
Adam, no matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
All right. I can't wait till the home game comes out. Kids arguing. I get to be Adam this time, putting on the huge eyebrows. I'm Adam. All right. We'll take a break, and then we will return with news and sports, and we'll continue our social experiment. Oh, also, John Madden.
John Madden's
John
next.
Madden calling in from the road.
That's great.
All right. After this.
Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM.
Wrong song. Hey! Anyone hear that? John Hyatt, everyone. One of my favorites. Not one of my favorite John Hyatt songs, but John Hyatt's one of my favorites. 866-901-ADAM is the phone call, is the phone number, I should say. Let's see. A lot of business here. First off, somebody who's been on hold for a long time wants to give Dave some kudos on his song. Don?
Yes.
Are you from Pittsburgh?
I used to be.
Uh-huh. And what song are you talking about?
He's like Dave Demeshek's number one news or sports.
Yeah, you'll hear it soon. Momentarily, you'll hear it.
Yeah.
It's time.
There it is.
For Dave Demeshek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I like how he goes up an octave at the end. Sports! At the end.
Now, I defy you, Dawn, to name the celebrity voiceover.
A what?
Featured in that
yeah.
little song. Whose voice is that?
Who is the A-list celebrity who lent his voice to that opening?
See, I'm a big fan of D-list celebrities. I don't know.
Well, arguably, no. A-list, I say. Who is it?
I don't know.
Host of his own network late night talk show.
Then it's got to be Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Incorrect. That is correct. Oh,
I thought it was Conan, too. Thank you, Don.
I'm sure he's the only one that really listens to the show, right?
Yes, I'm sure. Evidently, as we've learned from dropping our wallet at the farmer's market, Jimmy Kimmel may, in fact, be the only one listening, and probably only listening to hear his own voice at the beginning of sports.
Right.
Thanks, Don. Thanks for the praise and the put down.
Yeah, well, I'm probably your only pharmacist that probably listens to the show, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair to pharmacists, as I've learned, none of them speak English.
Well, yeah. Well, it is my second language. No, just kidding.
All right, baby.
Well, Don, we're planning on doing an all ambient show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sonata's the new drug. Sonata. Do that one.
Really?
What's Sonata?
It's another new sleep agent. Or Lunesta. Maybe you want to try that one.
Whatever it is, we're going to try it. But we are going to do a show where everyone just gets on Ambien and we see if we can keep on keeping on. All right, now, where the hell are we? Oh, yes, we're going to talk to John Madden, who's called in. And then we're going to do our news and our sports. John?
Yeah.
John, thanks for calling in.
Sure, yeah.
God bless you. John is in the Madden Cruiser. He's on the way to Super Bowl 40.
10 days away, yeah.
10 days away.
XL. What do you think about it? The same size as my shirts when I was 30 years old. Hey, I don't know if you guys noticed. I also auditioned for the Dave Damashek's number one sports, and I didn't get the part.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Listen to this. Here it is. Dave Damashek's number one sports. Boom!
Yeah. I remember that, John. I got to be honest. We didn't want you to say boom, and you couldn't do it without saying boom.
Yeah, anytime I want to say something, it just happens. It's like it's like putting a period at the end of a sentence. Remember that guy who used to play the piano, and then he would talk with phonetic pronunciation? Victor Borga.
Yeah, funny stuff.
I was thinking Abe Vigoda, but then it went Victor Borga.
Yeah.
But boom!
Yeah. Well, I remember we brought, John was nice enough to come in and do the VO session for us, but he couldn't stop doing the boom, and he kept saying Brett Favre's number one sports, and I had to keep correcting him. It was Dave Damashek.
You're listening to Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number two, if you're counting Brett Favre, boom!
Right, and we're like, you know, Mr. Madness is awesome, but we really just need a clean take that says Dave Damashek's number one sports. He just couldn't do it without bringing up Brett Favre. Eventually, he started just saying BF. I think he would do with the initials, but still not enough. It was a compromise. It was distracting.
I mean, it's like a BLT. We've compared Brett Favre to a good sandwich, and a BLT, a BFT is a Brett Favre and tomato.
Yeah. I'll tell you, he is a linebacker in a quarterback's body. Is he not, John?
I mean, I think that he's actually an entire football team. in a quarterback's body, and he might even be a lot of fans. I mean, that's
wow.
Boom!
He loves the game, and I'll tell you what. But when you're not having fun, when you stop having fun, it's time to quit, isn't it, Jeff?
You have to, and you know that's why I keep doing it.
You love it.
You enjoy yourself, and you go out there, and you do the things you need to do. And I mean, that's the way Super Bowl Extra Large is going to be. It's going to be all about what we need and what we want to see. And I mean, I'm on my way there right now.
Yeah, I hear, by the way, that you have other notables on the bus.
Yeah, we got a couple guys here. They're sleeping. I can wake them up.
Could you now?
So you're just stopping off, or you're just taking the long way to Detroit and stopping off in different?
Yeah, we go. Every way we can go. We figure, hey, whoever, whatever. Actually, what happened was we're stopping at every Outback Steakhouse in the country.
Oh,
and, I mean, there's a lot of them. Boom, Outback Steakhouse. I mean, they got the Outback Steakhouse like the Brett Favre buses.
Our producer Brusca says Pacino.
Yeah, you are.
Brusca, yeah. Says Pacino may be on the bus.
I think Pacino is on the bus.
I picked him up in L.A., but I got to wake him up.
All right, well, put him on. I'd like to talk to him.
Al, Adam Carolla is on the phone. He is, huh? Let me get up. Hold on. Hello?
Al?
Yeah!
Adam Carolla here.
How's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for coming on, Mr.
Yeah,
Pacino.
We're on our way to the Super Bowl, but we're going the wrong way, Adam.
Oh, yeah, well, you got to...
We hit water. There's a problem. John's bus driver doesn't know the difference between east and west. You know what that means, Adam?
No.
You know what that means?
No, I don't. I mean...
We're going the wrong way.
I'm sorry, Mr. Pacino. I know sometimes when people are just woken up, they're a little bit surly and cranky. Al, I didn't know you're a big football fan.
Yeah. I coached that team, remember, in the movie?
Yeah, Any Given Sunday.
I wore a leather jacket, Adam. Like the Fonz.
Yeah.
What play you calling, coach? Cameron Diaz was in there, too. Think about that.
Yeah. She was
coaching
one of...
and Cameron.
Yeah. It was a great, great movie. Jamie Foxx was in there.
Jamie Foxx. Where is he now?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him after that movie. Yeah.
Disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, he did some short-lived thing on the WB, and then that was it.
There
I haven't heard of the man.
He's taking a weird route, because I think he stopped in Washington, D.C. and picked up George Bush, the president, as well.
You should stop somewhere and pick up Segway notes, Brusca. Al, can you put, is President Bush, or ex-President Bush there?
No, let me get, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on here. I know, you gotta wake him up too. I mean, everybody's sleeping here, hold on.
Everyone's sleeping on the bus. Maybe you have a carbon monoxide leak, John. Maybe that's why everyone's sleeping.
Maybe we should keep quiet about that.
Sorry, buddy.
Hold on, Mr. President. President. Oh, I don't want to wake up, man. It's Adam Carolla. Okay, man, hello?
Oh! Yeah, Mr. President.
Yeah, and the bus did not go toward Washington, District of Columbia. I was on vacation.
Oh, okay.
I think one of my many vacaciones.
Yeah.
As they say in Espanolish.
I know. You're practically a honorary Mexican because of all the brush you clear.
Mexican.
Yes.
That's how
yes.
you say it, man.
Yeah.
I look forward to this Super Bowl thing, man.
It's going to be awesome. Do you know who's playing in it?
Hold on. My earpiece is ringing.
Okay.
Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right.
I'm the king of America, man.
That's right.
Land of the free, home of the Whopper. Think about it, man.
I know. Are you a big football fan, Mr. President?
Yeah, I've watched the game. You know, I enjoy a fight. I really like watching these two teams.
Do you know you're familiar with the rules? Like, for instance, how many yards for a first down?
somewhere between, let's go with 11.
11? Well, okay, that's pretty close.
Close?
Pretty.
Well, hey, that's all I look for, man.
If you got 11 yards, you'd have a first down, that's for sure. And how many points for a field goal?
I think 3.5.
Three and a half, again? just made the cut. I hear Robin Williams is also on the bus, President.
Go through me. What do you have?
Oh, I'm sorry, John.
President, you ask for Robin Williams, he's going to get Robin Hood men in tights or something like that. Man, this guy's nuts here. I don't know what's going on.
I'm sorry,
crazy. Hello, guys. How can so many people talk on one phone at the same time? It's pretty amazing.
Wow, Robin Williams, everybody.
You know what's really weird is I've got the beard right now, so I feel like being really serious.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the serious, that's the actor, oh, Robin yeah. Williams. Robin, I didn't know you were a fan. I didn't know you were friends with John Madden.
Oh, well, you know, we both live in the Bay Area. Come on, think about it. You know, we do. I mean, a lot of times, Robin and I will just go up to the club. They got the Cobbs Comedy Club up there. They'll just go up there, and we'll do some improv together. He's not very good, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, man. Any chance of a Mork and Mindy reunion?
Oh, Robin. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just to get Exidor on the program, huh?
Yes.
Think about that. That's an X reference you don't usually hear on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. From, he was,
the weird friend.
He was a weird friend. Yeah. I'm sorry. It was a casual fan. Sorry.
Yeah, sometimes you have to realize that Robin knows more than you do. And you have to, boom. I mean, he's the Brett Favre of his own TV show. What is this guy talking about? I don't know, man. But it all seems good.
All right, John.
Like America.
John, I know there's probably an Outback Steakhouse, coming up. So, we're going to need to take a break. I appreciate you calling in, though.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. That's what makes this call and this traveling the way it has to be, is that you're there and I'm here, and we're all having a sleepover on a mobile vehicle.
You forgot, boom. Yeah, that's going to say. You forgot to say boom. John Madden, everybody. Thank you. We'll talk to you. He'll be checking in periodically on his way to the Super Bowl. And now it is time to check in with beautiful Rachel Perry and the news.
Applying my lip balm in preparation for the headlines. The Palestinian Prime Minister resigns after early election results show that Hamas has won a majority parliamentary victory. Hamas is considered a terrorist group by Israel and the U.S. State Department.
It's sad because hummus is so delightful, but Hamas, so evil, you know? Just a couple of letters can separate something that's so delicious on pita from a horrible terrorist organization.
A syllable emphasis.
It's tough. Life's really tricky. A lot of nuance. Hamas, bad. Hummus, delicious. Wow.
Terrible.
Yeah.
An autopsy has failed to determine the cause of Chris Penn's death. But his neighbors claim to have never seen him healthy. He was hurting. They would see him in the middle of the day totally wasted and displaying a lot of erratic behavior, though.
Yeah, well, he liked his booze, as I said yesterday. The only guy, 10 years of doing Loveline Radio, who I went out and had a pop with after the show. Mm. We went to a little bar in Culver City at 12:30 at night on like a Tuesday and just proceeded to put back some highballs. So I knew right then he liked to drink. Yeah. And I think I don't know if he did drugs, but he certainly drank a lot and he certainly was overweight. And I'll miss him.
270 pounds.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That seems conservative. But when you go back, though, you don't give a lot of these guys credit when they go back and they show the movies they were in, when they do the retrospective on the news. You go, oh, yeah, oh, I like that one. And then you realize, well, kind of going to miss this guy. Mm. All right.
Richard Hatch of Survivor fame has been found guilty of tax evasion.
Wouldn't miss him.
Yep. The National Human Rights Commission is an agency funded by the Mexican government. They're going to distribute 70,000 comic-style maps highlighting highways, rescue beacons, and water tanks in the Arizona desert in an attempt to curb the deaths of illegal border crossers from Mexico.
Yeah.
Approximately 500 people died in 2005 trying to cross the border.
Well, it gets hot out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. Again, sad. The news is often sad, much like this next story. On The View the other day, they were testing out, they had some sort of infidelity test on there they were showing, and I don't know, where you can see things or tell if your husband has been cheating on you or something. And this is what Star Jones had to say about how she would feel if she had to deal with infidelity.
Right. Seminole fluent, I can handle if you're my husband. Vaginal fluent, I got issues with you.
Seminal fluid, she's okay with? Vaginal fluid she's not okay with?
Seminal fluid I can handle if you're my husband. Vaginal fluid? Then, well, I got an issue with you.
She's saying the word fluid, right?
Yeah. Right. She's saying that it's she's already given a pass to her husband, Al. She found Al's lover's fluid, Carl's name, found uh-huh. his fluid on
it's Rufus.
Al. Uh-huh. So if
he's
if she found a was hold on a second, I got to digest this. If she took a sample of fluid from the husband and found that he was with a man, she would be okay. But if she found he was with a woman, she would not be okay.
Well, I don't know. I'm not Star Jones.
But is that what she's saying?
Well, I think it's probably taken out of context, but...
Oh.
Well, the idea... I mean, I think she maybe didn't quite know what she was saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She was... Because I think the test is to find fluids.
Yeah, I gotta say that, though, if you're a woman and your guy cheats on you, your husband cheats on you, you want him to cheat with a woman because he's a cheater, but at least he's straight. If you're a guy, I think you'd like your wife to cheat with a woman over cheating with a guy. Interesting.
Sure.
How
yeah.
say you, Shaq?
I say yay.
Yay.
Rachel, you say yay?
Yay and yay. Double yay to that. So.
Yeah. You'd be kind of...
I don't want to find out my man's having sex with a man.
Right. But if he had sex with a woman, you'd think, all right, well, all men are pigs. Maybe I should be doing more in the bedroom.
Exactly.
And then you'd vomit.
Why would I vomit?
Because you have an eating disorder.
Oh, because I have an eating disorder.
You blame yourself.
Oh.
You turn on yourself.
Yeah.
And then do what all women do. Get angry at the other woman.
Right.
Oh, that little bitch. What she must have done to break my husband. I'll kill her. That's what I love. But if it was a dude, you'd just freak out, right?
That little bitch.
Yeah.
I'd say the same thing.
Yeah.
About
all right.
him.
All right.
And on American Idol last night,
if your man was to step out with a dude, had to be a dude, me or Damashek, who'd you like him with? Who stinks? Would you have a harder time getting out of your mind?
Oh man, I have to. I have to.
Or would
make
you just
choice?
Kill yourself? No, you have to make
yes.
a choice. You have to make
door number three.
You have to
and
make
vomit.
He chose door number three on both of us. By the way, now which one? Me
oh,
or Damashek?
And by the way, I hope you understand. I hope you understand that Ace and I both will be putting the blocks to him and not the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're no queer bait. We've been giving it to him. That's right.
Don't bring him into this.
He's in, and we're into him, if you know what we mean. Now, which one?
The first time I entered your...
which one would be...
Oh,
which
gosh.
Would be more difficult to stomach? I know it would be a train wreck either way, but which one?
I can't comment on
How
this.
How about this, though? I would make the argument for me saying, I do, you know, I am kind of a celebrity. Maybe he's a fan. You know, you could at least argue that. He was smitten, you know? He's not physically attracted to me, but he's such a fan of my work that he gave it up
and
sexually.
Maybe in the interest of Ask His Rodeo, I'm gonna go with you, Adam.
Right, but on the other hand, if he's with me, then it says that he's an aesthete. He enjoys beauty. He enjoys beautiful things.
That's right. He doesn't ask to see the genitalia of the painting. He just wants to go to the museum and admire it.
Which
I don't even know what that meant. All right. So go with me.
Yeah.
And again, we would be giving it to him. We would not be receiving it, you know.
Well, you could try.
All right.
You could try.
Well, maybe we'll team him. I'll say you, Shaq.
Please.
Yay.
All right.
One thing for sure, I'm feeling Randy.
I'm not looking forward to going home tonight now.
All right. Now, just picture that the next time you guys become intimate.
That's so unfair.
Just picture that. All right.
You know what? I'm going to save my American Idol talk for later on that note. That's the news for now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to take a break, don't we? I guess not.
Oh. You want to take a break?
We're real late.
Now we're late. Okay, well, it was all that cornhole talk we brought up. I didn't want to go there, but Bruska handed me a note. All right, we will take ourselves a break, and then we will come back with Dave Damashek in sports and possibly more weird gay talk with Rachel Perry's boyfriend.
He's not... Oh, my...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Good times.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM's the phone number. Comedian Doug Benson is waiting to come in here. We still have sports to get to as well. Also, Sackmaster Michael Strahan is going to be calling in, talk a little Super Bowl. Of course, the All-Pro Giants defensive end. But first, because we didn't get to it in the last break, and it is so important to us, sports with Dave Damashek.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
You remember yesterday when I said the Ron Artest for Stojakovic deal fell through because Ron decided he didn't want to move to Sacramento?
Right.
Well, he's changed his mind and went through after all. He's a real delight. I think all of Sacramento's going to fall in love with him. Ronnie's new pal celebrated with a win against the Knickerbockers last night. Mike Bibby, 76 points in his last two games, which would be impressive if Kobe weren't scoring more than that in a single game.
Yeah.
Other results from the National Basketball Association. NFL gets to be the National Football League. NBA, from this point forward, National Basketball Association. Mm-hmm. Dallas over Golden State. Denver over Portland. Seattle beats Utah, and L.A.'s favorite basketball team, the Clippers, beat New Jersey. Pac-10 ball, Arizona beats Arizona State and Tempe. Baseball, the Athletics signed the big hurt, Frank Thomas.
Cleanup really?
Man, yeah. Yeah, 37
playing.
Years of age, yeah.
Wow.
427 pounds.
A lot of ass on that man.
That's right. Now, back to this trade. Ron Artest is now on his way to Sacramento, and Larry Bird, the president of the Pacers, is trying to justify the deal. I guess he's trying to sounds to me like he's trying to make Sacramento buy Ron Artest. How great he is! Listen to his comments.
I've said it before. I really like Ronnie as a basketball player. He meant so much to us as a franchise and as a player. He's the best player in the league. On both sides of the ball. We've done everything we could here to try.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's the best player in the NBA. He's a delightful guy, apparently. We just decided to give him to you out of the goodness of our hearts.
When he's not beating the F out of fans, he's really given 100% on the hardwood.
Yeah, I like that. But the big story in the NBA, or the National Basketball Association, I should say, is that Isaiah Thomas has been accused by a former Knickerbockers employee, a woman.
Mm.
What's her name? Anucha.
Anucha.
Yes.
Wow.
Anucha Brown Sanders says that that Isaiah sexually harassed
no,
her.
No, a basketball player would never do that.
Yes, and no one named Anucha would ever level those allegations.
Yes, no Anucha says,
figure would ever do that.
Here's what Anucha says. She says, my pleas and complaints about, you know what, better yet, I should do it in her voice, I think. My pleas and complaints about Mr. Thomas's illegal and offensive actions fell on deaf ears. He refused to stop his demeaning and repulsive behavior. So,
promise me you'll never do that again.
Well, that's the best woman I could do. I don't know.
Dave
I thought
Damashek.
It would sell it better. Now, Isaiah is indignant.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I didn't do anything. And in fact, he called a press conference yesterday to respond to these charges.
All right.
Listen to this.
Here's the straight poop, fellas. That dame is shouting this, that, and the other about me to any jamook who'll listen. But I'm here to tell you it's all a bunch of hooey with a heap inside of applesauce. I only gave her what she had coming. Oh, boy, did I. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to meet with my boss, Mr. Sheldrake. Good day.
Isaiah, what question?
I said good day.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's outraged.
Wow.
Gee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful words.
Yeah.
Wow. Was he speaking?
Isaiah Thomas.
Was he speaking into one of those microphones with the big hoop around it and all the springs holding the inner part? Because I that's what I picture.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't catch the video, but yeah, I mean, you can definitely hear there that he is incensed.
Wow. Wow. Powerful stuff.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We were talking in the last break to beautiful Rachel Perry about cheating and boyfriends and all that, and sort of figured out that if you're a woman and your husband cheats on you, you would prefer that it be with a woman. It would be very weird if it was with a man, because not only would he be a cheater, he would be gay. Whereas if you're a man and your wife steps out on you, you would prefer it be with a woman and not be with a guy. As a matter of fact, it's probably less than half the negative impact if it's with a woman. Is it not? I would say that. I really would. I think most guys would rather their wife cheat with three women than one dude.
Especially if they can watch.
Someone I can handle if you're my husband. I got issues.
Yeah. That's right. Star got us going down this filthy path. And then I asked the question of Rachel, if her man stepped out on her with another man, who would she least like to see him in the arms of? Dave Damashek or Adam Carolla? After she vomited, I think I persuaded her to say my name, but maybe that's only because my name's on the show. I'd like you to be honest.
I can't speak for him.
We have Nick. Well, I'm asking you.
Who I would prefer him to be with if I was going to walk in?
Yes, because he has to be with one of us.
I know you guys both think he's so handsome that
he's
you have been fantasizing about it.
Handsome,
but
no,
he doesn't.
Pretty, yes.
Oh.
I am ruggedly handsome. He is pretty.
I think we should let him.
All right. So you don't care. For you, it's a coin toss.
Either way,
it's a lose-lose.
Well, at least I would say this. If you walked in and it was me and your boyfriend, Nick, at least perhaps after I'd climax, we could do some show business. You know, we could take care of some stuff, talk about what's going on tomorrow, some guests, Mad may be calling in. You know what I mean? Hey, if it's Shaq, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? We could pound out some beats.
You're not a sports fan, are you? Yeah.
First off, I have to put this right out there.
Yes.
Dave could never conquer me.
Oh, really? Wow, too much man for Damashek.
Says you, Nick.
Wow. Hey,
Carolla, you and I would be a good fight.
Yes. Eventually. Well, here's the thing about Dave. He may chloroform you. You know what I mean? I've checked his trunk. There's chloroform and duct tape in there.
I would trade my dignity for a night with Dick, with Nick. That's right. I said it.
Freudian.
It wasn't Freudian. I meant to say it because that's what I'm looking for.
All right. Nick, you answering this question honestly doesn't make you gay, because it's just, there's an A or B answer here. But seriously, if you had your choice to be with one of us, who would it be?
I would have to break it down, and when I write the book, it'd be Dave Who, and it'd be a Carolla.
Right. Right, so, at least you might be able to sell it to a tabloid for $800.
I could maybe make like $84
right.
to the Inquirer compared to
Damahoo
on my balcony and telling Dave's woman as she walks by.
Right. I'll tell you what you could do, though. You could blackmail Dave not to tell his mother for at least $10,000, because if Mo Damashek found out about this, she would fall on one of her knitting needles. All right, Nick. So you say me, yes?
I say...
Thank you.
I say you?
Yeah, how say you? You say me?
I say you, but never... I say nay entry.
Nay entry. All right. That, but they all say that at the beginning, and after I rub their...
I like how you say they all.
Yes, they all say that at the beginning. Oh, sure, I see the yellow bandana. I know what it means, but we'll see. We'll see about that.
Ace Man puts the look on you.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm looking right at your place from my house right now, waiting for you to get home.
All right, well, listen, Nick, nice work with Rachel, by the way. Mazel tov.
And
what time's Rachel usually get home, by the way, from the show?
What time do we get home, baby?
I don't know.
10:05.
What time do you usually get home? Yeah.
I usually have running other stuff. I usually get home like way after he does. Maybe like 2 in the afternoon.
Two?
Depends what I'm doing.
Okay, safe. Nick, I'll see you at 1.
1:15 it is.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Well.
Bye, baby.
The jury is spoken. Sorry, Dave.
So be it.
Okay. Dave wounded. He's wounded.
It does upset me. You know,
it does.
I once went to a party. This is true. I once went to a party at executive producer extraordinaire Alan Ball, the guy who did 6 Feet Under. He's a, mm-hmm. he's a gay man. Mm-hmm. He had a big party at his house, and I went over there. 200 gay men there, stuffed mm-hmm. to the gills with beautiful gay men. Apparently, yeah. I go in there. Mm-hmm. Was there for 20 minutes. As soon as I figured out there were no women there. Not one of them in the 20 minutes hit on me. I was really? Outraged by the time I left that party. Not really? One of them. Not one of them really? Deemed me acceptable. Yes.
2 hours manning the glory hole in the bathroom for this, Dave announced as he walked out and threw a scarf over his shoulder.
My feelings were hurt.
He said, good day. He said, good day. All right. Well, the people have spoken, and evidently the gays love the Ace Man. we have to take a break.
Yeah.
Jerron?
Yes.
You're our intern. You are out on the street. You have a wallet.
Yes, and I'm in disclosed location.
Right. It has $80 or $100 in it now?
$80 still.
$80.
Yes.
And it has a phone number. Call if you find this wallet. I say the nature of man is good. Brusca says evil. So far, he dropped it at the farmer's market an hour and a half ago, and we got a call moments later from a good citizen.
I was a little surprised, but it was a European. I'd like to see an American pick it up
yeah.
and pocket the money, I'm
all
sure.
All right. Jerron?
Yeah?
I need you to get on a plane to Idaho.
Not a problem.
We don't have anybody like that fits that description here in Southern California. All right, Jerron, drop the wallet, and we'll see if the phone rings again.
Okay,
thank
good.
You. Thank you. We will take ourselves a quick break. We have Doug Benson. In here. Oh, you know him from the marijuana logs and many, many other projects. Comedian Doug Benson will be in, and we'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Yeah. Doug Benson is in studio. Doug.
Yay.
Yay.
He did it. He got up.
Doug
came in.
Great stand-up. He is going to be at the Improv this Friday and Saturday with dear, dear, dear friend Sarah Silverman, ooh, dear, dear friend Jeff Ross, and dear friend Zach Galifianakis. That is a strong lineup there, by the way, Doug.
They're putting on some powerhouse shows over at the Improv lately. I got to follow all those.
Oh, you're going after efforts, all those
yeah.
heavyweights.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that's tough.
That's going to be a monster.
Yeah, they always do that thing where they're like, oh, you want the guy to come up before you and warm up the crowd, but you don't want to warm them up too much. I mean, you don't want to be a disappointment.
Well, that's the great thing about, you know, Zach going on right before me is he plays the piano and I don't. So it's like I'm taking it up a notch by stopping the piano music.
Yeah. Keeping it real by not playing the piano.
That's right.
Doug was recently named by High Times, the great publication High Times, and number 2 pot comic.
Yes, yeah, thank you very much. Awesome.
Quite an honor. Quite
after
an honor.
After your mom got done wiping away the tears, what did she say? She must have been like, the greatest day of her life.
I didn't think my son would ever be on a list. I thought he would just be on VH1 talking about people who are on lists.
I love The Best Week Ever, by the way. If people have not seen this on VH1, it is a great show. I don't know. There's something about the format. I mean, obviously the comedians are funny and the clips are funny, but there's something about the pace or the format that sort of sucks you in.
Yeah.
And it's like caramel corn. You just can't stop dipping your hand into the tin.
Yeah, I think it could be an hour long each week, honestly, because it's once you start watching it, you're like, that's you're in until it's over, and then when it's over, it's kind of it always ends really abruptly too at the very end. You're like, oh
yeah,
man, I could use some more of that.
Yeah,
it's a fun show. I would watch it if I wasn't on it.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah,
it's really cool.
But I wouldn't watch it if you weren't on it. How about that?
Oh, I love you.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
done.
You.
That is nice. You want me to tell you who's having the best week ever?
Who?
A little scoop here for your show.
Who?
Because it won't be on until tomorrow night.
Who? Rachel's boyfriend, Nick.
How did you?
He's no, actually having the worst week ever.
Me and Damashek. What a choice.
Yeah, why does he have to? Yeah, that's a happens. Horrible thing for him to wake up to, having to choose between you two guys.
Oh, you guys woke him up, literally. This, yeah.
Yeah.
A terrible week. Who's having
wait,
the best
he doesn't
week?
Get up every morning to listen to you? He doesn't, like, set the alarm and just.
Yeah, most of the time he does, but he was sleeping in today.
Oh, that's sweet. I hate him.
All right.
What was the question? Oh, yes. Best week ever is the guy who asked George Bush if he saw Brokeback Mountain.
Okay.
And also threw in, you would love it. Like, that's the best part to me, is that he managed to get in that extra sarcastic dig of, like, you would love it if you saw it, you know?
And, yeah, Bush had a rambling 20-minute non-answer for that question.
And he said no.
You're a rancher. A lot of us here in Kansas are ranchers. I was just wanting to get your opinion on Brokeback Mountain, if you'd seen it yet. You would love it. You should check it out.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
I'd be glad to talk about ranching, but I haven't seen the movie. I've heard about it. I hope you go, you know.
He's parroting himself at this point.
Farms, what I was about to say. I hadn't seen it.
Wow. So articulate.
So not only has he not seen it, he's not seen it twice. He's really busy not seeing Brokeback Mountain.
And you can see the nonverbal stuff. He starts to open his mouth about 17 times in that clip to say, I hate gay people.
Right.
He starts to do it. I better not say that. That's too far.
If that movie is gay.
I would like from this day forth to have all gay ranchers known as Jolly Ranchers. I just like that. I just like that term.
That's
watermelon
excellent.
Flavored Jolly Ranchers. I like that. You know, my plan to have the gay flag be called the Super Jolly Roger. That goes along with my theme. I like Jolly for gay. I like to go ahead and replace it because back, you know, our grandparents had a name. It was gay. That meant happy. That meant a good mood. That meant fantastic. It now means what we're going to do to Rachel's boyfriend, Nick. Why not convert Jolly as well? You know, we don't use it anymore. We got to give gays words we don't use. Hey, use Jolly. We're done with it. Go ahead. You got queer that used to mean funny. You got gay that used to mean happy. Here's Jolly. And by the way, give them Jolly before they use a word we do use for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They may take up a
Yeah, what if they take happy away from us?
That's what I'm saying. They're probably having a meeting right now where it's between Jolly and happy, and they're thinking of going with happy. I say let's give them Jolly right now.
Don't let them take our happy.
Doug is... No, we
get
need
your
happy.
Hands off my happy.
Listen, you homos, get your hands off our happy. Here, take Jolly and just walk away. That's what I say. All right, let's all start gathering up the jollies and bring them down to Santa Monica. Doug is the founder of the marijuana
co-founder,
logs, which are co-founder.
Two dudes.
Are you
two
high
other dudes.
Right now, dude?
No.
You're
Why not?
Not?
That's disappointing.
I know. What was I thinking?
I'm totally disappointed.
I should have. Here, let me put on the sunglasses and then.
Because
you look high.
I always look high. Everybody accuses me of being high whether I am or I'm not. So it's like, I might as well be high all the time.
Well, I think being the co-founder of the marijuana logs probably does it.
That starts it off, but also my eyes are always red.
Yeah. How much weed do you smoke?
I don't even smoke every day.
Really?
Yeah,
lies.
I smoke. It's true.
Yeah, right.
Do you get high before you go out on stage?
Rarely, but I have. I can do it.
I would be freaked out to do that. Like, I'm all right getting high and sitting home watching TV, but I think I would be, and I would be all right having a beer or a cocktail and going out on stage, but getting high, I would become self-conscious.
Yeah, I've done it all. I've done every drug or alcohol that I've had, I've also done it on stage.
Really?
And like alcohol, you know, I've been on stage and told the same joke twice, that kind
right.
of thing. But pot, it's not really a problem, especially when they say this guy's the co-creator of the marijuana logs, and then I come on stage, everyone's like, he's high, you know,
right.
So might as well be, you know. But I'm not always, because it's just a timing issue, you know.
Like, I did a benefit with Bill Maher over at the Improv, where you're going to be
Bill
on
Marijuana.
Friday. Bill Marijuana on Friday and Saturday, and we're going to do this thing where we're going to do a Loveline recreation, and he was going to be Dr. Drew. And we're going to go up on stage in like 8 minutes. And I turned to him and I said, Bill, what are we going to do when we go up on stage for 20 minutes? And he's like, I don't know. And I said, well, maybe we should work out some of the beats. And he said, yeah, you're right. Let's go up front where it's quiet, work out some of the beats, and then we'll go back and do our bit. I said, I think that's a good idea because I have no idea what we're doing. And there's 200 people here and we're not going to get a laugh out of them. He said, yeah, let's go up front. We walked out front, walked down the street. He blew a joint. We went back in. And said,
the subject didn't even come up,
and
I'm sure.
It never came up. I watched him smoke pot, and then we walked back in, and I was like, fantastic. We worked out no beats, and now you're super high. Fantastic.
Well,
and
that's why he's the number one pot comic, according to High Times.
I say if there's a number beyond number one, I would like him to be there. If he slips a notch next year, he should still be falling into the number one slot.
Well,
that's
my plan, is to overtake him in the next year.
We will... You gotta have goals. Doug Benson is in studio. I hear your arch nemesis is here. A senator, a Republican, a GOP. Oh, yeah. Ohio.
Representative Richard Martin from Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he disagrees with a lot of Doug's views.
All right,
views.
So a little on-air debate, perhaps.
Yeah, a little. Could be interesting. We'll see what happens.
I think it will be after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. All right, real quick. First off, Doug Benson is here from the Marijuana Logs and many other things. Best week ever. VH1 going to be at the Improv this Friday and Saturday. Also, Michael Strahan, the Pro Bowler, is calling in. Talk a little football. We're going to have a debate with Ohio Republican Richard Martin. But first, we're conducting a social experiment. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. What's your name, sir?
Hello?
Hello?
That's his name.
What is your name? Is hello? Hello?
Did you lose your wallet?
I did. Can I put you on the radio?
Yeah, okay, you can put me on the radio.
Thank you. You found a wallet?
Yeah, I found a wallet, man.
How much money is in it?
It's like probably about $80.
$80, yes, yeah. Yes. We put it down. What is your name, sir?
Oh, my name is Sadat Alford.
Sadat Alford?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, I told you, LA.
Just stick with hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, is Alford your last name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Where are you from, Sadat?
Where am I from? I'm from out here. I'm from California.
I didn't go to high school with a lot of guys named Sadat. Are you originally from somewhere?
No, my mom just, she had 7 kids. She just had to change it up a little bit, that's all.
Oh, I see.
Big fan of Egyptian politics.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
Well, I know how it is when you're naming kids. It's like, well, we got Bob, we got John, there's Richard,
there
now I'm out of ideas.
Yeah.
How about we go Sadat? Okay.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
All right, well, Sadat, you're an honest man and a good man and a good citizen, and I have said this, that I think there's more good people out there than bad people. I think we outweigh the bad people tenfold, and I said if you drop a wallet and you leave money in that wallet and you put a number that says, please call this number if wallet is found, the phone will ring. We've done it 2 times in 2 different locations in Southern California, and the phone has rang moments later.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Have you heard of the Adam Carolla radio show?
No, not yet, no.
It's another experiment we've been conducting. There's 2 things we know. We know that Americans are honest and that they hate or don't know Adam Carolla. Have you ever heard the name Adam Carolla, Sadat?
I heard Carolla as in Toyota, yeah.
Sure.
But not,
sure. And you've grown up in the Southern California area.
Look around. Yeah. Is there a bus going by you by any chance?
A bus?
Yeah, is there a giant poster?
Once in a while, you'll see a billboard or something.
I can't see. I mean, I don't have my glasses on, man.
Okay, Sadat. And what do you do for a living?
Oh, I work at 5757 Museum Square. I work at a Consumer Resource Network.
All right, Sadat. And do they allow radios in that place?
Are there any radios? Yeah, it's one at inside the building, yeah.
All right, well, you just tell them to turn it to 97.1 out here. You can hear the show.
Oh, yeah, but I got this dude's cell phone, man. I'm going to tell him to go with me. Yeah, sure.
Oh,
All right. Oh okay.
You got our intern's cell phone. All right, Sadat. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, buddy.
What do you want me to do with the wallet?
I'll tell you what. Give the wallet to the rangy black man who is standing next to you and keep the contents of the wallet.
Oh, okay.
Which should be $80 in one of Brusca's spent condoms from his high school days.
All right,
Sadat. Thank you.
See, it pays to be honest.
It does.
The Swedish guy that called in earlier is pissed now. You gave him 20, this guy got 80.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's no chance he's listening to the show, so I'm sure he's fine.
He's busy at the Nook.
Wow. All right. Now, a couple things. Like I said, there are no people that don't speak without an accent in the greater Los Angeles area. That's number one. Well, because the first guy was like, was it Magnus? What was the first guy?
Jurgen
and Sadat were the two guys that randomly found our wallets. They do not listen to talk radio, or if they do, certainly not the Ace Man. But honest as the day is long.
Yeah.
And I say to your theory that men are evil, I say good day to that theory,
you
Bresca.
You beat me on this one. I mean, I'm from Brooklyn, and
he said good day!
I said good day!
All right, I'm shutting up.
All right.
You won.
It'd be all great right. if somebody called up and said, I'm just calling you to tell you that I'm keeping your wallet.
That is Doug Benson, who's in here. He's going to be at the Improv Friday and Saturday with Zach Galifianakis, Jeff Ross, Sarah Silverman, all the Murderers Row of stand-ups.
Yeah, the shows are mixed up, though. There's a show Friday at 8:30 and then two on Saturday at 8:30 and 10:30. So all of those people aren't on all those shows, but I'm on all of them.
Still.
But there's heavy names on every. Drew Carey's coming in one night. I got to follow that.
Wow.
The infamous Orny Adams is going to be there tomorrow night.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy.
Geechee Guy may stop by.
that's a who's who of stand-ups. Where'd you pull that one out of? That's pretty
my
good.
My arse. All right, marijuana logs. How often do you do that? I mean, you're doing your stand-up this weekend, right?
Yeah, and the subject of pot comes up quite a bit, but I talk about some other things. But the Marijuana Logs is a show I created with two other comics, and we toured around the country, and then we played off-Broadway for a year, and now we are waiting for, we're going to launch a tour soon with Tommy Chong sitting in with us and doing some of our jokes.
Was you know, I never even got the vagina monologues connection, but was that the inspiration?
That's the idea. It's basically the vagina monologues with pot instead of vaginas.
Right.
And
in the vagina monologues, they would always get, you know, different celebrities and actresses to go in and do it.
So that was our idea, but so far Tommy Chong's the only one that has stepped up and said he would do it. Like everybody else that's expressed interest has backed off at some point.
What about Cheech? Is he uptight now? Is he trying to distance himself from the ganj?
He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He is like really backing
away.
He's
become a shill for the man.
You can hear him going beep, 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 because he is backing away from the pot thing.
Yeah, I know. That's not a butter.
It's not a surprise. It's a pretty racy subject. When you do the show, that people protest you or anything like this?
No. We never get a peep from anybody. I haven't heard, the only thing is every once in a while, a couple weeks ago, I was doing radio to promote. We've got a book out now called The Marijuana Logs, Everything About Pot That We Could Remember. Took three of us to write it, only one of you to read it. And I was promoting it on doing those satellite radio things where they just call me at home and I talk to radio stations all over the country. And one guy, some talk radio guy, just berated me, went on and on, like I'm a guest on his show, and he's saying, yeah, it sounds like a funny book, but pot is illegal and it's wrong and you shouldn't be promoted. Like, it was like he just went on a rant telling me how wrong it was, and I was just sitting there like, well, dude, you know, I'm a guest on your show.
Yeah, he booked you. Speaking of guys who don't like weed, Richard Martin, Republican from Ohio.
Yeah, I've heard this guy's got a bone to pick.
Studio.
Is this the microphone here? How are you, folks?
How are you, Richard?
I was doing okay, actually. I was driving my car in the area, and I heard this. Are you the gentleman that thinks
that
marijuana
me.
Is funny?
Yeah, he thinks
yes.
Okay. He thinks it's good. Yeah,
I love it.
You're congressman?
Yes, I am.
Wow. From the state of Ohio?
Yes.
And you're all the way out here in California?
Yeah, and who are you?
Evidently, I should be saying my name more because nobody around here listens. Yeah. Did you find a wallet? No?
No.
I'm Adam Carolla. I host this radio
Hello,
program.
Hello, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to meet
Love
you.
Love Line, Man Show,
stuff like that?
No.
No.
No. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
But, you're just like those other Sadat and Jurgen.
Yeah. I don't know what to...
No, it's okay. That's okay.
About.
We don't want to digress here, Richard.
But
Yes, you don't smoke marijuana, you don't think it's funny, you believe it's a drug.
No, it's illegal.
It's illegal.
It's illegal.
Right.
And nobody is pointing that fact out. You know, there's kids that they're listening. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be tempted because they say, hey, you know, I listened to the hippies on the radio show and it mm-hmm. it sounded like a basket of fun. And right. What they don't realize is it's a gateway drug. You know, it can lead to homosexuality.
Yeah, gateway to good times.
It leads to homosexuality and, that, you know, that's a gateway to not wearing a tie. And from then there's a lack of respect for society. And I just want you to know that your license is up for review at the FCC.
Oh,
and,
really? Is it?
This will be taken certainly under consideration.
Wow. I didn't know you had that kind of juice. I didn't know you had those connections.
Yes, sir. I served 4 years in the United States Congress.
Wow.
And I'm very well connected. And, you know, I don't like what I'm hearing here. I find it to be disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really what you expect to find when you come to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, the rap music, it comes from out here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I find the pointing at the camera to be redundant.
Mm-hmm.
I find the bass to be unnecessarily loud in relation to the treble.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Brokeback Mountain? You would love it.
Is that
it.
Supposed to be funny?
You would love it.
You know, I would actually like to find those two horses mm-hmm. and have them destroyed.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they should have sensed that something was wrong with the way the testicles were laying against the saddle.
That's interesting. You never hear about the horses of the
gay
cowboys.
They should have thrown those two gentlemen from their mouths.
The shame of being the horse of a gay cowboy.
Insurmountable. You have to be the butt of all the gay horse jokes, right?
I think that it's possible the horses were gay.
The horse tried to throw one of those gay guys at one point in the movie, I heard. I haven't seen it.
Well, then it's a patriot.
What?
It's a patriot.
Patriot horse.
Yes. Wow, so you don't think, you don't believe in gay marriage then, I'm guessing.
Oh, why don't we just go kill people? How's that?
Oh, listen, I'm only gay for Rachel.
You know, one of my ex-wives said to me, Marilyn, she said, Richard, why do you hate the gays so much? And I said, Marilyn, I don't hate the gays. I'm a Christian.
Right.
I hate their faggoty ways.
Yeah, I see.
Whoa, you know, the FCC might have a problem with that, sir.
I resent them thinking they can have a bathhouse fling and then march up the same aisle to the same altar that's been so sacred to me on four separate occasions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to say, people in glass houses, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you've been divorced.
Are you a gay gentleman?
No, but I have many gay friends, and I believe in their rights. And you've been divorced many times. Yes, you cast aspersions upon the gays. It just seems like, people in glass houses shouldn't cast stones.
Sir, you know, there's a debasement that goes on with the homosexual activity involving the anus that is sacrosanct. It's against God's wishes and the wishes of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And to treat that as the devil's donut is just... Mm. It's reprehensible, and it's not good for the kids to hear about that kind of stuff.
Well, do you think the more people talk about it, that sort of gives it the green light for young people to experiment with homosexuality?
Absolutely.
Do you think we encourage homosexuality?
You might as well be standing over two men that are locked and be applauding. I answer a lot of these questions on my video blog, askarepublican.com. Mm-hmm. If you go there, you can see video of me handling these questions from some greasy hippies in mm-hmm. Seattle.
Well, let me ask you this, Dick.
It's Richard.
Okay.
But,
how can you be pro-life and pro-death penalty at the same time?
Well, that's
you
simple.
People.
That's simple. You know, when a little thing is a fetus. We don't know whether or not it's gay yet.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have a little look-see attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's straight and it's white, it deserves every chance to
white. You say
grow up and live in a gated community.
Wow. I think I heard that too. He said white.
I didn't say white.
Straight and white.
I'm pretty sure if we listen to the tape.
Don't think I did.
I really think.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay. I just thought I heard white. You may have said right.
No.
You may have said tight, but I think
pretty sure what I say.
I'm sorry, Congressman.
Yeah.
Bill?
Does Bush hate black people like Kanye West says?
You know, that's offensive. That's offensive. You know, people think that, you know, we're walking around the White House saying, oh, we hate black people. What can we do to make black people's lives more? I guarantee you, we don't even think about black people.
Interesting. I would suggest that sends a message, you know, as well.
People say, well, then why did it, you know, God darn it, why the heck did it take you 3 days to get down there to yeah. New Orleans? You know, mm-hmm. I just want to say, those folks had 3 full days. They were warned. Hurricane's coming. Hurricane's coming. 3 days to go ahead, get a college education, get a better job, buy an SUV. They right. chose not to.
Right.
They stayed behind. Mm-hmm. They know they're not swimmers.
Mm. Again, I think that's a stereotype. I don't know that that's true at
that's
all.
That's offensive.
Well,
that's
no, I'm offensive. Saying you're offensive.
You're offending me.
No, I'm... Well...
No.
I thought you said white. I just... Okay.
I saw that guy Jervis from Survivor Swim once.
Well, although I think he just sort of helped the congressman's point there, because he just made it 100 feet from shore and then he started drowning. He actually swam fine until he could get into deep enough water to drown, and then he announced he was drowning.
You see, yeah. what you got to understand, you know, you liberals, you live in a fantasy world. You know, mm-hmm. you think that we can have world peace, you know, through, you know, yoga-ing and tofu-ing our way. Mm-hmm. You think the world runs on raspberries and cinnamon. It doesn't. It runs on oil and the exploited labor of poor people. Mm, mm. Once you get out of the cocoon and breathe the fresh air, it's a lot nicer.
Controversial. Bill?
I think I swallowed the bait.
See? Bill knows really? What I'm talking about.
Wow.
Bill. No, Adam, I've followed your career long enough and listened to enough that I really bit. I mean, I had this phone dialed within a millisecond as soon as this Dick Martin guy.
It's Richard.
It's Richard.
It's Richard.
Yeah. No, I'm
Republican.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's not Dick Martin
yeah.
from Laughing.
No.
No.
Well, yeah, this is
although
right
I do like to crack
it's
folks
even
up.
A bigger laugh in.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill.
I have to say that if there is any degree of hypocrisy that I've ever heard more than coming out of this guy's pie hole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also do a blog. I do a blog on my band's website.
All right. The reason I hung up on him is because I think he was going to tell us what his website was.
See,
we're
he
just
was
not interested.
On my website,
yeah,
I...
Yeah, there's no need to plug websites here, you know?
AskRepublican.com.
Yeah.
MarijuanaLogs.com. Yeah.
That is a good way to end the segment. Doug Benson and Richard Martin, Republican from Ohio. You two can take this argument out into the hallway.
Thank
please.
You so much.
Thanks for coming on, guys. Again, you can find Doug this Friday and Saturday at the Improv.
World-famous Melrose Improv in Los Angeles.
The first, the one, the only. Also,
you'll
watch
be seeing
him.
Some folks from the law enforcement community, I guarantee you.
Yeah, a lot of potheads over there. Maybe a raid. Maybe a raid. Yeah. VH1's Best Week Ever. Name of the show.
Fridays at 11.
It. Yes.
I'm glad you like it. That's awesome.
Me and my wife watch it religiously. And again, I'm an atheist. I'm sorry, Republican
okay.
Senator.
Okay. Hell needs people, too.
Okay. Good way to go out. Thank you, Richard. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Michael Strahan is calling in. He should be on the phone any moment now. The great sack leader from the New York Giants, Michael Strahan. Scott?
Yeah, what's up, man?
You have a recipe for pot brownies or you wanted one?
I need one. I don't know the correct ratio for brownie mix to pot, and I figure with your expert on there, we got to know something here.
Yeah, unfortunately, my expert is in the parking structure blowing a joint right now.
No, I was talking about you. I know you're
me.
An expert at this. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not really a pot expert. I do know the correct way and the best way to make the pot brownies is to cook down the THC and get it into the butter, and then use the butter for the brownies. You know, don't want to be eating a bunch of twigs and stems and leaves and stuff like that. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, that's a little too technical for, you know, a pothead.
Now go to the internet. You have a computer?
No.
You don't?
I pawned it.
Are you being funny, or did you actually pawn your computer?
No, I don't have one.
And by the way, if you say to someone, are you being funny, there's a good chance they're not being funny. I would argue that it's a catch-22. If you
Is
have
that
to
why
ask,
you say that to me all the time?
Yeah, you know that thing where they go, like, you go into the Rolls-Royce dealership, and they go, well, if you have to ask how much, you probably can't afford. If you have to say, are you being funny, I think you answered your own question right there. All right. Andy?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
You got out of a red Turn Arrow ticket?
Yes, I did.
Everyone knows who listens to the show, this is a passion of mine. How did you get out of the ticket?
I brought your radio show up. I said, do you know Adam Carolla? And he said, well, yeah, but what does that have to do with running a red light? And I said, well, he told me to. So I did that, and he said, well, don't do it anymore.
Wow.
So I got out of it.
Wow. On the road.
On the road.
So it wasn't, you weren't speaking to a judge, you were talking to the cop.
Yeah, I'm talking to, I didn't even get a ticket.
Wow. All right, but don't use my name anymore, like when he finds you over your girlfriend's body. And she has a sprinkler key sticking out of her lung.
Why not? The man's apparently a fan of the Ace Man.
Adam Carolla told me to kill her. Okay, well, don't do it again.
I am a huge fan. I've been listening to Loveline, and I listen to you all the time.
Thanks. Thanks,
yeah,
Andy.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for getting me out of a ticket.
Hey, my pleasure. Keep fighting the man. The great Oswaldo has just entered the studio. He's handing out his flyers.
I think we need better security. He just parked in and started handing out flyers.
He just walked right in the studio, yeah.
Like he owns the place.
Ozzy's having a party in Encino. We figured it out. I got him a house. He called me three. Ozzy, how many times a day is it necessary for you to call me, by the way? Call me three times yesterday. Call me last night. I don't even know what he said. He just wanted to know if I was going to the party. Ozzy?
You know, for contact to you, you know, it's the same CIA, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I call you, you know, lot of problem for contact to you.
Yeah.
I need, you know, make a lot of phone call, you know, for anxiety, you know, I needed contact to you.
All right, now, so you called because you needed to talk to me. Okay. All right, buddy. Thank you. So is everyone going to the party on Saturday, by the way?
I'm sorry. It's a patty.
Oh, it is a patty. Yeah, it says Ozzy's patty. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, Ozzy, you got to change that first T to an R.
Yeah?
Yeah, the flyer says Ozzy, P-A-T-T-Y.
That's Ozzy's potty.
Oh, he's being hip. Yeah. He's being hip.
All right.
He's a special.
No kidding. Yeah, special ed. That's what it is. I'm such a... My spelling is so bad, I just saw P-A-T-T-Y and thought, all right, well, I must have been misspelling party all these years. All right, Ozman.
Okay.
God love you. We'll see you Saturday. And God love whatever the guy's name is who's letting you throw it at his house. What's his name? Richard? What is his name?
Mark?
Mar. Bill Maher's letting you throw it at his beach house? Let's work on this for a second. Adam. Mark. Adam and Mark. Went to the store. Adam and Mark went to the store.
Adam and Mark went to the store.
All right. What were we doing there? Do you know? Or?
Maybe pick it out some drink, you know, for the party.
Ah, yeah. I see.
The quick Thank you.
Fast
Thank
on,
you.
Fast on his feet. All right. Let's do one of Dave Damashek's fabulous and renowned lists. Anyone who listens to the show with any regularity, and as we figured out from dropping wallets in random places around town, nobody listens to the show with any regularity at all. If at all, Dave does his list. What is the topic for this?
Well, it's interesting.
List?
It's perfect that, you know, Oswaldo apparently doesn't know the letter K based on his pronunciation of Mark.
Mar.
He doesn't know.
Right?
That's what I want to bring some light to is the alphabet. You know, it's the first thing we learn in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we give it short shrift. We take it for granted.
Yeah.
We go, it's the building blocks for learning, you know.
The alphabet.
So I want to pay homage, if I may.
History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
they thinking when they wrote that song? Somebody in the band must have known it sucked, right?
Maybe the bass player, just looking for a gig. He was happy to have the gig. His heart wasn't in it. But the lead singer, you can tell, 110% on this one.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Well, we need a theme. Are you familiar with Ralph Macchio? Okay, forget it. Don't worry. He's a karate master, and he's taking on foes twice his size. He's beating up the cool kids. We need something that embodies that. Knock yourself out with the Casio. Get back to us Monday.
Home run.
Home run.
All right. So, time for the 2005 alphabet letter of the year. With no further ado.
Yeah, well, by the way, I'm sorry, but according to Ozzy's flyer, if you want to get to the party, you take the 101 Nort. N-O-R-T.
This only confirms what I already knew. This list is essential.
I'm getting Ozzy in here so we can listen.
The nominees are D. I know, D, the letter D. I know where my bread's buttered. Dave, Damashek,
yeah.
You know, Dynamite.
Yeah. Right. Delusional.
Dick.
The letter.
Wow. I meant from earlier. He said that when he was.
Yeah, powerful.
He just prefers it over N. That's powerful. All I'm saying.
Powerful. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
The letter I. It's lean. Elegant simplicity when capitalized and in the lowercase with the little dot. Cute as the Dickens.
Yeah, cute. You know?
The letter G. I think we can all agree that the letter H is a jerk.
Yeah.
Acting all silent in a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
Playing by its own rules.
Yeah.
But what do you know? G went ahead and jumped one ahead of H. Put him in its place.
Smart move.
Good for you, G. You're the underdog.
Yeah.
Now.
Except when G gets all silent in D.L. Hewley.
Yeah.
The letter Q. When you think of the letter Q, seems like it should be hanging out further down in the alphabet. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah,
should be
it does.
Down there with W, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But little known fact, it actually comes before R, S, and T.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Did not know that.
Q, it belongs back with the X, Y, and Z's of the world.
It really is. It's towards
it's
the
way
end.
Ahead there.
It's the caboose of letters, yet yeah. It rides in the middle of the train.
What I'm saying is Q's ambitious.
Yeah.
And the winner of the 2005 Alphabet Letter of the Year.
Come on, G.
As opposed to the other letters of the year, not in the alphabet.
Q.
Wow.
The letter Q.
Wow.
As I say, you know, the letter Q teaches a lesson to us all about what a little gumption can get you in this world. You know what? All the other letters should pay attention to the good and aggressive work that Q's doing.
They should take their Q from Q.
That's exactly right. Before you know it, if the other letters aren't careful, it could be A, B, C, Q.
Right.
EFG.
Right.
Before you know, blink an eye.
Sneaking up on you.
So congratulations to the letter Q.
All right.
You've earned it.
Yeah. I hear accepting the award for Q is W. I hear Q's in Canada shooting a movie.
Right.
But W will accept the award. Oh, Michael Strahan is on the phone. We got to take a break, but let me say hi to Michael. Michael?
Yeah, what's happening?
Thank you for calling into the program.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
We need to take a break because we're running up against it, but we'll be right back, and we'll talk to you about the Pro Bowl, football, do some picks, all that.
I'll be here.
Thanks, Michael. Hang on. We'll be right back with the great Michael Strahan after this.
You're listening to The Adam Cole Show. Call Adam Cole now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. That's the phone number. Michael Strahan is on the phone. All-pro defensive end from the New York Football Giants. Michael, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. What's happening, man?
Questions. First off, I'm surprised to see you've been in the league for 13 years.
I look young, don't I?
You really do. You look brand new. Yeah, and you get sort of lighter and faster and I may say sexier every year.
Well, you know, thank you. Coming from you, that's a huge compliment.
Thank you. What did you weigh when you entered the league? Like your rookie, are you lighter now than you were your rookie season?
Yeah, I actually am lighter now than I was my rookie season. That's what's scary.
Yeah.
But I've been rookie year. I was probably about 260.
Mm-hmm.
Then I gained weight and went as high as 280,
mm-hmm.
maybe a pound or two over, and then now I'm back down to in the 250 something range.
Speed rush and heading for your seventh Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
this year.
Yeah. Well, the seventh vacation for my parents, put it that way.
Right, and Pro Bowl's been in Hawaii. It's always been in Hawaii, right? Is it just a party?
No, not always, but they moved it out there permanently. Of what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's been out there for a while, and I think reason was because guys didn't want to go to, you know, Houston for a Pro Bowl, or didn't
right.
want to go to, you know, the Detroit or Florida, because they could do that on their own. They wanted to go somewhere a little bit different, so they picked Hawaii, and you have a good turnout rate from all the players.
Is it just a party over there? I mean, are guys playing that hard, or are they just there to, you know, get drunk and score chicks and stuff?
Well, there's probably some of that going on, but we do actually play. And, you know, you have to play. It's football. It's, you know, the NBA All-Star game, they can throw alley-oops and shoot
right.
layups and all that. For us, we have to hit each other. You have to, you know, it's hot out there. So it really is a game.
Yeah, but
the guys are it's not as if you're in the playoffs or you're in the regular season and you're out there trying to win the game necessarily by doing anything means necessary.
Right.
So you want to protect yourself, but at the same time, you do want to win.
Let me ask you this, Michael. Sorry, Shaq, but I want to know, because it seems like NFL players are wearing, especially defensive linemen, are wearing less and less pads every year, and it's now pretty much down to shoulder pads and helmet. Do you guys even wear cups?
No, nobody wears a cup. That's old school, man.
Right.
Adam, that's like 1972.
I would be wearing two cups if I played
Adam,
football.
How do you protect your jersey?
Oh,
how dare you? Let's be realistic right now.
How dare you stereotype me just because I have a small penis? I mean, just because I'm white.
I can just tell by the way you walk.
A lot of people are surprised by this because it just seems like that's the number one thing you'd want to protect. Or is there an unwritten rule that there is no
work? Well, you really don't. I mean, occasionally you may get hit there.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you really don't. I'm amazed that the guys don't wear, you know, like the defensive backs. And a lot of defensive linemen, linebackers don't wear any pads on their thighs or their knees. Guys basically are out there with just shoulder pads on and a helmet.
It is incredible when you see the Warren Sapps of the world and you realize other than the shoulder pads and the helmet, they're just dressed like you're going out walking your dog.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, but some guys can do that because they got a lot of cushion.
Yes.
They get hit, it has to go through about five layers before it hits the muscle. So.
Yes. I assume you're talking about Samp.
That's my man. I love Warren. Warren's my boy. But, you know, Warren is pretty big.
And you were born and raised in Germany?
I was born in Houston, but I was raised in Germany, yeah.
Ah. Is your father in the military?
My dad was a major in the Army, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a military man.
And were you, how long, I mean, so you speak, do you speak German?
I speak just a little bit, enough to get by.
And when did you come out, and then how did you get into football if you were born, I mean, weren't you playing soccer growing up?
I wasn't playing anything, actually. I was watching, but I wasn't playing anything. In my senior year of high school, my dad decided to send me to Houston and let me play 1 year high school football, and I did, and I got one scholarship to Texas Southern University and 4 years there, and I was here in New York after that.
Wow. I kind of fell into it. I know. I always get angry because I started playing Pop Warner when I was seven and was a washout by the time I was about 14 and a half. It's always amazing how many guys are in the NFL who say, my folks didn't want me to play football. I didn't play. I played 1 year in high school. I'm always like, how does that work?
I think it's good because you don't, I mean, I don't know, you just don't wear yourself out. I think if I had played all through, you know, middle school, elementary school, high school, and college, I'd be worn out by now. I probably wouldn't play anymore. You just get tired. Your body, first of all, is going to take a beating. Secondly, I think mentally it's so challenging. I mean, it's challenging enough for me, and I didn't go through all those stages, so I'm actually feel like I'm lucky.
Who do you like in the Super Bowl, by the way? You guys played Carolina this year. I should say Carolina got you guys, but you guys played...
Carolina played us.
Right. Sorry. Sorry about that. No. Yeah, Seattle, you guys just basically got nipped by this year.
We kind of missed some field goals that helped.
I know. I saw you running out on the field with your hands over your head.
I couldn't tell it was short.
Well, that's why you never celebrate, Michael.
It was down the middle, though.
No. But point is they got you, but you didn't play Pittsburgh this year, right?
We didn't play Pittsburgh, but you know what? After watching a lot of football, they look like their team to beat to me. I have to go with Pittsburgh right now because they have just flat out physically manhandled everybody.
Are there teams? I hate to cut you off, but I really want to know. Are there teams you're scared to play? Like, I mean, if you're playing the Texans, and everyone can look at the record. Oh, these guys are 1-15, so who cares? But are there teams that, aside from the record, are physical, are tough, are scary? You know you're going to get hit. You know you're going to get beat up.
I don't think you ever look at a team, at least I don't look at a team and I don't fear them to say, okay, it's going to be, you know, this team is tough. But you do definitely look at certain teams and think, I'm going to hurt after this week. You know, these guys, they will beat you down. They'll try to beat you down. They're going to come off the ball every play. They're going to play hard and they're going to be physical. And there are certain teams you go against and you think to yourself, well, I can go out and dance after this game is going to be over with because they really don't want to hit anybody. So, you know, Pittsburgh is that type of team where the next day you don't plan on doing much except for resting.
Are you going to the game?
Yeah, I'll be there.
So you'll be at the Super Bowl and then you'll be at the Pro Bowl after
that.
Yeah,
I'll be out there the entire week trying to enjoy the festivities.
Could you possibly check in with us another time when you're out there? Because we're kind of looking for a correspondent, someone who's actually at the game.
Well, why not? No problem.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The great Michael Strahan, everybody. Going to be at the Pro Bowl again. And, of course, hopefully checking in from the Super Bowl with us next week. Well, that's it for the show. I want to give thanks where thanks are due. I had a card that had everyone on it, but I don't know where the hell it went. Fresca? What did I do with that card? Ah, here it is. Yeah, Seth Meyers and John Cho. See this movie, name of their project. Doug Benson, going to be at the Improv this Friday and Saturday, the one out here in Hollywood. And Republican Ohio Richard Martin, I'm not sure where you can find him, circling, looking for hippies and potheads. Also, want to thank the great Michael Strahan and, of course, Frank Caliendo, man of a million voices from... what else Frank on? Oh,
Mad
on the
TV
Fox, Mad TV and the Fox NFL pregame show. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.